Good. Okay. Good morning, everyone. We will open this meeting of the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board Thursday, December 5th at 9:07 a.m. Welcome, everyone. We're going to start off with some brief introductions from the board. We'll start with Ms. Hansen.
Good morning, everyone. Laura Hansen with the Governor's Office of Planning and Budget.
Good morning. Mayor Dean Baker, representing Uinta County.
Ralph Brown, representing Sevier County.
Curtis Law, with the Office of State Treasurer.
Curtis Wells, representing rural Utah.
Chris Piper, Utah Attorney General's Office.
Good morning. Nagi Zanati from sunny and warm St. George, representing UDOT Commission, wishing you very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Scott Bartholomew, San Pete County Commissioner, representing our 6th Council.
Greg Miles, Duchesne, from the beautiful Duchesne County, home to the King's Peak, the highest point in Utah, so we truly are a county above the rest.
I'm Bruce Adams, representing Southeastern Utah AOG. I'm a county commissioner from Monticello. And he might have the highest peak, but I can see the entire state of Utah from Monticello.
And I should have done this before introductions, but if we could all please stand and give the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Yep. One second. We've got to have introductions from a few more board members. Sorry, guys. Gary Taylor.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Jerry Taylor, Garfield County Commissioner, representing Fife County AOG, and I appreciate being able to attend this morning remotely.
Thank you, Jerry. Commissioner Lytle.
Good morning, everyone. Jack Lytle from Dahlia County Commission, representing the Uinta Basin Association of Governments, and I'm pretty sure nobody can see us from the other side of the Uinta. Bruce can.
Okay.
You're tall enough, Jack. Everybody can see you.
That's right. Okay, let's stand and do the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, today is a... It's a special day. We've got a board member who's been with us since, I think, the Civil War, right, Bruce?
Before more.
And I want to give everyone the opportunity, you know, to say a few words, but I'm going to start us off. Bruce Adams has been just an excellent representative for Southeastern Utah and for all of rural Utah. And I think that, it's kind of hard to picture not having Bruce at the table for me, because he's been at, you know, every table that I've been sitting at since I've got involved in service and in government. But we have a gift that I want to give to you, Bruce, from the CIV staff and everyone for your service. You bet. And I can't say enough about the time and effort and sacrifice that you've put in, you know, for rural Utahns and for the communities in rural Utah. And thank you so much for your service to the Community Impact Board. It really it's been just an absolute pleasure working with you in this capacity on the CIV. And, of course, everywhere else. And we love you very much, Bruce. Thank you. And I would encourage other board members, you know, if you'd like to say a few words. And this is a good opportunity to give them a hard time, obviously, too. So.
Can I start off?
Please do. Chairman Zanotti, please.
I make it emotional on this one, Bruce. 47 years ago, when I was about to escape my country after the revolution, it was a cold, dreary night, and it was just the darkest sky you could ever see. My father, bless his heart and bless his soul, he gave me this counsel that I would like to share with you, which is going to apply to every one of us, especially for Bruce. He said, my son, I have written down, so I'm going to read it exactly what he said. There will come in your life time, that special moment, when you figuratively tapped on your shoulder and offered the chance to do a very amazing thing, unique to you and fitted to your talent. What a tragedy if that moment finds you unprepared or unqualified, for which would have been the finest hour of your life. Bruce received that tap on his shoulder when he was 5 years old. I can promise you, I've been with him for a long time. He's done everything in his talent, time, energy, and of course, uniquely qualified for the job that he's been called to. From being a county commissioner, before that being a teacher, and most of you in this congregation, I'm sure you've been in his class, been tutored by him. But he's been a great inspiration to me, personally, to all of us in this setting and in our state. He's traveled long and far away times to be in the governor's office, no matter who the governor was, who the legislator was, who the Senate was, to say the piece that he really believed in. And he's got a lot for his county and most of all for all the youth, small communities that you have here, you're here, or you've been here. I personally love you, Bruce. I've always enjoyed your friendship, your leadership, and you're going to be missed from this board, but I was smart enough to recruit him to serve on the UDOT commission with me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Brown.
Yes, I'd be amiss if I didn't take this time as well. Bruce has been a good example to all of us, but especially to me. I appreciate his friendship. He's a champion for rural Utah.
Yep.
He'll stand up and fight. He's just not afraid to say what needs to be said and do the right thing. I've been in their home. I appreciate their example. I'd also like to recognize his wife, because she's been right beside of him the whole time.
Yeah.
And it takes, sometimes it takes a lot to stand up and do the right thing. And I appreciate you. And you're the standard, but I love you.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah. I've had the privilege of serving on several boards with Bruce in my 6 years on the commission, and I just really appreciate his steady leadership, and he truly is about doing what's right, and he's not afraid to stand up for it, and he shows up. You know, that's one thing that I'll miss is getting to see you, Bruce, you and Christine coming to things, because Bruce shows up. He does his job, and he's poured his heart and soul into everything that he's accomplished as a San Juan County Commissioner representing his county and representing our state. And I truly appreciate your friendship and your service to our state, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Bruce, I remember one time in your class when I was sitting there. You know, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you. I say amen to everything that's been said here today. You're a great person, and it's been fun to get to know you.
Thank you. How many years on the CIB service?
2009 to 2024.
Wow.
Actually, he started in 2008, towards the end, filling in for a person that no longer was running.
Wow.
But officially, early 2009.
Wow.
He looks good for his age.
Ms. Hansen.
Bruce, it's been great getting to know you, and I have so enjoyed our interactions. And I promise to mention Monticello in every board meeting moving forward so that you're always here with us.
Thank you.
All right, Kurt, your turn.
All right, I got to say a few things. So if everybody were to just come to the CIB meetings, they'd probably think me and Bruce were like mortal enemies, because we're always like, I told Bruce before the meeting, we're always the yin and the yang of the CIB. But I honestly can say that Bruce is one of my greatest friends that I've met here on the board. Every time he comes up to the Capitol, he stops by to see me and to tell me about what he's working on for the CIB. And he includes me, even when he has important meetings with the governor, he includes me to make sure that I get a chance to share some views with the governor on the importance of CIB as well. So I can tell you, Bruce, I can see that your heart is 100% focused on doing the best for our rural counties and towns, and I feel that every time I talk to you, that's your true intent, and I sure appreciate the friendship, and I hope we'll continue to be friends, and I hope you'll still continue to stop by our offices when you come up.
We will.
So, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Up, Mayor Baker.
He's my mentor. I get emotional, but when I came to this board, Bruce had a lot of influence. And I've appreciated his truth, his honor, his standard. And all I can say is I'm going to get on my rooftop and wave once in a while. Wave back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that.
Kurt? And, yes.
Online.
Oh, yeah. Commissioner Lytle and Commissioner Taylor online. Would you guys like to say a few words, please? Commissioner Lytle, please.
Well, good morning. And doggone it, I wish I could be there or could have been there. Bruce and Christine have been tremendous friends, and both of them tremendous acting examples. When I started being a commissioner, I was on the Seven County Infrastructure Board within the first couple of years that it started. And Bruce has always been a mentor, a teacher. I think that's obvious in his background as well, but that's his personality. Just want to say thank you, Bruce and Christine, and we will see you some more, just in different ways.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Lytle. Commissioner Taylor.
Yes, I can't. I'm sorry that I'm not there, and it's heartbreaking for me, but other duties call. But I want to talk a little bit about Bruce. When I was a newly elected mayor, I had to come before the CIB board, and to be honest with you, Bruce literally scared the hell out of me. But at the end of the day, when our little community needed the money, and several times since when our little community has needed the money and needed help, it was Bruce Adams that came through, stood up, said, these guys need the money to be able to help them survive, and I really appreciate that in Bruce. Something else is I've traveled all over the country with Bruce and Christine. I've been in their home. We've been in many places together, and such great friends. Bruce, Christine, I love you. Appreciate you. What an example you are to me. Thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Now I'd like to welcome Jerry Gamber up to the table, please, to Commissioner Winfield, if you would come up, please. And these are representatives from the Southeastern Utah AOG. And if you'd like to say a few words, we'd be happy to hear them.
Thank you, Chairman Wells. First of all, we just sincerely want to thank the board for our beautiful building again. Thank you so very much. We love it. Bruce, you have been, I might get emotional, but you have been someone that has empowered me to lead the agency in such a healthy way, but you also have been a friend and a mentor, and I have learned so much from you, and I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I thank you for everything.
Like many of us, I think Bruce has been a mentor to most everybody in this room, and in a lot of ways I'm grateful that I didn't get tutelage in his classroom, because I likely would have got a D or an F. So very thankful for the role model that he really has been. You know, there's been a lot of people that have helped me along the way here, and I'm kind of just a redneck that got roped into serving his community, and he's an excellent role model. He looks across the aisle, and he he really considers the people that he's trying to take care of, and that's an honor to have learned from him. So thank you.
I just echo everything that's been said. As Jerry mentioned, you know, with our new building, we chose to rename after and name it the Bruce B. Adams Building. And it was said once, he was, you know, someone said it to us that it means a lot when you have a building named after you, that must be some type of person, and it means even more that when the building's not even in their county that they serve in. And so that just, I think, just shows how much Bruce's touch and influence and representation for Southeastern Utah has been, and not just Southeastern Utah, but all rural Utah. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate and love everybody in this room and all the people that I've been able to serve and help. And when I came in this morning, Jennifer and Brittany asked me if I was going to sing one more time. I told them, well, my voice is about gone, but if you want to hear me sing one more cowboy song, I'll be glad to do that. This for you, Jennifer and Brittany. There's an old cowboy song from down where I live. I live at the base of the Blue Mountains, and on the side of the mountain, a naturally grown in the trees is the outline of a horse head. And Judge Keller in 1930 wrote a song about that horse head. When the pioneers came there in 1889 and established Monticello, they felt like building a community at the base of the horse head was divine, and they would receive protection from the Lord for building under the horse head. Of course, my home sits right on the edge of town. My bedroom window faces the horse head. I can see it every morning when I get up. It's been a motivating thing for me in my whole life, the story of the horse head and the story of the settlement. Prior to 1889, the Texas and England cattle companies had moved into that area. It was not an area that was accessible, but we had lots of real tall grass. They talk about in the journals of some of these early pioneers about the grass being tall enough that it hit the stirrup on your horse from Monticello 80 miles to Durango. That's before we got a lot of invasive species like sagebrush and rabbit brush and PJ. But those cattle companies moved in. They each had approximately, the Pittsburgh moved into LaSalle. They had about 10,000 head. The LC moved into just north of Monticello. They had about 10,000 head. The hip, side, and shoulder moved in south of Monticello, ran down south and out towards the San Juan River. They grazed there for a long time and made a lot of money. They drive those cattle up to Thompson, Utah, put them on the train and ship them all over the country. When they left, of course, they couldn't gather all the cattle, and they left some, and that benefited the early Mormon pioneers that came into Bluff and Monticello and Blaney. Anyway, this song is the story of what happened there with those Texas cattle companies and with the Mormon pioneers. I'll do my best. I'm sure glad we don't have a piano. And I'm getting a little bit older, and so I used to have it memorized, and I made every fifth grade student in my fifth grade class memorize this song. They memorize this song, and I know I'm going to offend a whole bunch of people. they memorized that song and they had to sing Rise and Shout, the Cougars Are Out every morning before we started school. That was my alma mater. So anyway, here goes. My home, it was in Texas. My past, you must not know. I seek a refuge from the law, where the sage and pinion grow. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head on your side, you have won my love to keep. For the brand LC I ride, with the sleeper calves on the side. I'll own the hip side and shoulder when I grow older. Zapatero, don't tan my hide. I chum with Laddie Go Gordon. I drink at the Blue Goose Saloon. I dance all night with the Mormon girls and ride home beneath the moon. I trade at Monza's store with bullet holes in the door. A calico treasure my horse can measure when I'm drunk and feeling sore. Yon Gallus with his long rope, doff few clothes without any soap, in the little green valley have made their sally, and they're slick, there's still some hope. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head on your side, you've won my love to keep. In the summer time it's fine, in the winter the wind doth whine. But say, dear brother, if you want a mother, there is Ev on the old chuck line. Blue Mountain, your azure deep. Blue Mountain with sides so steep. Blue Mountain with horse head on your side, you have won my love to keep.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bruce.
You left, Thank you, Bruce.
You've left a massive impact on the state, rural Utah, its people, its representatives. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, we have item 3, approval of minutes from the October 3rd CIB meeting. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Moved by Chairman Zanotti, seconded by Commissioner Miles. Any discussion? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Did you want to go through
financials? Breezed right through financials. Yes, please, Ms. Powers. Financial review.
Brittany Hardy with PWS Finance. Kaylee couldn't be here, Bruce, but we will both miss you. I'll speak on her behalf. You're very welcoming, and we'll miss your smile every time you're here. So for the fun part, you all have this in your packet. All of the financials. Total funds available as of the end of October are roughly $22 million. And then with all of the projects today, it's $35 million. There's about $13 million short. However, we forecast in the next 2 months to receive $12 million. Okay. So by the time the funding meeting is here, you'll still be a million short, but it's not as bad. And that, remember, that's just a forecast, so we can't guarantee you those funds. But if you approved everything today, you'll be about a million short. Any questions? Yes? You have questions? Or?
I have one question.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the last, there's no further projects, right? This is the last one before the funding meeting?
Correct. This is the only review meeting.
Okay.
Unless there was, what did you say, Candace, special considerations?
Well, yes, if special considerations come in, they will be on the February agenda, but you'll see them before you give final approval, which nothing is approved today except for supplemental and special consideration today.
So we could, if we're still short, if we're still $1 million short like we expect, we could make that decision at the funding meeting.
You put them on a pending list or not.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you, Treasurer. Okay. Thank you so much. Any other financial discussion needed, Candace? No? Okay. The first item up for review project is item 4.1, the Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District for a new administration office. We would happily invite representatives from Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District up to the table to introduce yourselves and give us a brief overview of the project. Thank you for being here this morning. Yes. Oh, I need to remind all of the applicants today to please sign in on the sign-in sheet. They even made me sign in for the first time ever today, so tighten it up.
Chairman, I just want to say one of my former fifth grade students is here.
We knew that was coming.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ryan Goodrich. I'm the district manager for Ashley Valley Water and Sewer Improvement District. I've had the pleasure of working with many of you in this room today for many years, and I look forward to continuing that long tradition with this next project. Bruce, you will be greatly missed by us and many around the state. I have with me today representatives from the design team, and I'll let him and we've got Justin in the back here, but let them do introductions.
Sure. I'm Jason Blanknagel with BHI. We are working closely with Ashley Valley on the design of this building, and we also have with us Justin Wallace with Wallitecture. He's the architect on this project as well, and we're happy to be here to answer any questions regarding the project. And thank you also, Bruce, from a resident of San Juan County originally. You left an impact on me, got me excited about science, and helped me make the decision to pursue engineering in my life. So thank you.
Can you sing?
Well, I didn't memorize that song. I did have to memorize the school song for the grade, but that's about it.
Okay.
Just check it.
Okay, so for those of you that know me and are familiar with the district, I'm going to apologize in advance. I want to take a couple minutes and just talk about Ashley Valley before I jump into the project and the description of why we feel it's a good one and why we feel it's needed. Ashley Valley Water and Sewer was formed in the late 1970s out of some major conflicts about water deliveries outside of the Vernal City boundaries. We started out very small, but with a vision to provide the service that was lacking, which actually caused the controversy to begin with. Since that time, we've steadily grown, installed new infrastructure, upgraded when required, and constantly maintained it all. Most of our growth has a direct tie to the impacts of mineral extraction. Now, I know that that phrase is tossed around a lot. Everybody likes to say that, but I want to give you a few numbers just to put that into perspective and the demands that that places on Ashley Valley. From recent census data, the population of Uinta County is approximately 37,750 people. Ashley Valley Water and Sewer directly serves approximately 14,000 of that total, or 37%. Now, while I think that's impressive, the part that is truly fascinating is that the district also treats and delivers water to Mazer Water Improvement District and Jensen Water Improvement District. Those two districts combine for another 5,500 people, which brings the total to 52% of the entire population that is directly served by Ashley Valley. If we add the capability in the agreements we have to serve the Vernal City's 10,000, our total percentage jumps to an astounding 78% of the population of the county. So when we say that we feel the impacts of growth, we truly mean that we feel the impacts of growth. And I cannot express my appreciation enough to this board and staff for the support that we've had over the years, because most of that has been supported by this board. With that, let me tell you about the history of this project and how we got here today. When I was hired in 2012, the district was running its entire operation out of half of a small house in Vernal. My office, and I'm going to put that in air quotes, my office was in an entryway, and my field supervisor had a desk and a chair in the filing cabinet room. Literally had to move his desk to open a filing cabinet. All of my secretaries were sharing the one space with three desks crammed into what would be considered a bedroom in this house. We had a small shop with a yard, but it didn't fit our equipment, so all the field guys carried their equipment around in their trucks. Needless to say, it was not sufficient for the district operations. So in 2024 or 2014, the district really started looking to find a plot of land that we could build a new building. We spent months looking. We made offers on land. We negotiated with different people, and nothing panned out. Eventually, the old telecommunications building in Vernal became available, and the district bought it, even though it didn't truly fit our needs. Several months later, a large parcel of land with numerous shops, storage area, and a wash bay became available, and the district also purchased that. Both times, the district used its capital improvement fund to make those purchases. This resulted in the district having split operations for approximately 10 years now. The split nature of operations, combined with an 8.5% growth since 2013, has highlighted the need for a new administration building. The application for the CIB would allow the district to combine the operations back into one centralized area, which also happens to sit within the district boundaries, probably for the first time in the district's history. The land in Naples has sufficient space to build the new administration office while accommodating all of the normal operations of the district. All of the field equipment, inventory, parts, and staff would be in one location that will significantly increase productivity, efficiency, and security. The boardroom will also be large enough to actually accommodate the large public attendance we've had recently, as well as provide space for community events as needed. As the public hearing, at the public hearing on this project, I presented to the public a spreadsheet showing the various funding possibilities that could come from this meeting. I also pointed out to the public in attendance that in 3 years, the district will have paid off three outstanding loans, and those payments would satisfy today's loan repayment portion of the application that we've submitted. Additionally, the district intends to sell the existing building, which would help pay off any loans that we receive today much sooner. The board has been discussing this project for most of this year at almost every board meeting and have taken steps to be prepared with a well-thought-out project and one that will be ready to move once we have funding secured. This includes securing the design services of BHI and beginning the initial stages of design. I believe that you have in your packet today a copy of the preliminary layout of the building. Also, after the application was submitted, the district began working with the neighboring property owner to purchase some additional land so that the layout of the building could be kept to one level, thus potentially saving the district money and providing better access to our customers. Again, thank you for giving me this time today, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions you have. And Jason and Justin with the design team are here to answer any questions about design, engineering, and construction. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Comments? Discussion?
I'll start off. I sit on that board, so I'm just declaring that I am part of that board.
Okay.
And probably won't be voting for the vote. I'd like to vote, but state attorney said no. This is a project. There's not just a want, it's a need. Because when we have a board meeting, it's on the third floor, this building that there's not enough parking. We're crammed in. If we do go into closed, they have to go out and stand in the hall until we can get them back. I mean, it's an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And this will consolidate, as the manager said, to make it an absolutely usable building for our boards and our meetings and to everybody together so that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. And you got... Oh, go ahead, Bruce. Go ahead.
I'm ready to make a motion. I'm feeling it today.
It's going to be a good day for rural Utah.
Well, I'd like to give them what they've requested, but it kind of doesn't fall within the tool. So the tool closest to it is the 1 million, the median, but maybe not.
The way I interpret the tool is this is like the low end and the high end, and anywhere within the middle is acceptable without an exception.
Thank you. I'll make the motion to give them as requested.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
Seconded by Commissioner Lytle. Further discussion.
I would just like to commend them for asking for something within the tool range. Thank you.
Yeah.
A question too.
Yes, sir. Chairman Zanotti.
Mr. Gurdish, you have the property now that you're going to build on. You have the 100% ownership of that without any lien or encumbrances?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
That was when I mentioned earlier the land we found in Naples, that's where this will sit. So the existing part of the project is to move of the wash bay in the area there and build the building in that same spot. But, yes, we own the property.
And you mentioned that you have also required some right-of-ways in the adjacent to the same lot?
Yeah, we're actually purchasing the property. We have the contract signed and the check made. They've asked not to pay till January just for tax purposes. But we've secured all of the land that will be required.
Okay. And do you moonlight as the Santa Claus beside your job you have?
No, there's another guy in Vernal who beats me with this, but it's taken me 40 years to get here.
So. Well, looks good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, please.
So how confident are you that the current prices that you have through the engineering estimates are going to be accurate and that there's not going to be cost overruns as you start to build the project?
Do you want to jump in on
that? Sure.
Yeah. Nobody can promise.
Yeah, for sure.
So as a construction company, we're really close to the costs of where construction is for buildings, and we've got a pretty good grasp on where we're at. This is within the footprint that we had originally estimated, and we've come up with numbers that are real-time, real close to what we're at, and there is a little bit of a contingency in there for potential changes that may come or potential cost increases that may happen in the next 6 to 9 months. So.
Okay. So I guess my follow-up to that is then, does the Improvement District have other funds if there are cost overruns rather than coming back to CIB for that?
That would be the intent of the district, yes, is to use internal funds to cover any of those overruns.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You had loans that once you were paid off, you thought you could pay this off early. Did I hear that right?
Or? Yes.
Yeah, that's the goal. So the existing building we have, that's obviously an asset. It's free and clear. There's no encumbrances on it. When we sell that, that's the intent of the board, is to turn around and pay the loan quicker so that we're not, you know, using this forever. But until that sells, we don't know what that dollar figure is. Sure. So,
okay.
Do you have interested parties purchasing the old buildings?
We haven't advertised it yet, but I do have interested parties already, even though we haven't advertised. So I'm confident that there we'll be able to sell the building, yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote, please. This is to place, the motion is to place this on the priority list.
Right.
That's right.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yeah.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
I'll abstain.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously with Mayor Baker abstaining.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank
appreciate
you, gentlemen.
It.
Bruce, when you were first appointed to the CIB, he just had a little stubble. Okay. Come on.
That was funny.
Okay. Item 4-2. Our next project for review is the Uinta Transportation Special Service District for the Independence East Road improvements. Welcome.
Thank you.
This project is requesting $12,450,000. $8,715,000 in grant, $3,735,000 in loan, 15 years at 0%. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
There you go. There's got a handout here. And I would ask the applicants to please introduce yourselves and provide a brief overview of the project request. Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you, Chairman Wells. We appreciate the opportunity to come before the CIB. We've been here many times before in the past and appreciate the support that we've been given, especially Candace and her background and history with Uinta County. As you're all well aware, Uinta County is typically oil and gas, and we have the opportunity to provide much funding for the CIB, and we look forward to doing more. The independent, I'm Mark Raymond. I sit on the Transportation District Board, and
Sean Labrum, Chairman of the Transportation District Board. Thank you today.
I'm Bart Jensen, Jones and DeMille Engineering.
Thank you. If you're familiar with the area in Uinta County, you know that there are many residential roads. The Independence Road has historically been an agricultural road out on the edge of Uinta County next door to Duchesne County. And in the very recent past, Leland Bench has had significant oil and gas drilling, and they have found significant, substantial reserves of oil and gas on the Leland Bench. This Independence Road is one of the collector roads to Leland Bench and has seen significant growth and increased truck transportation across this collector road. The impact on the road, as you can see from the photos, has been significant, and we have had the companies approach Uinta County saying, we really need help with this road, these roads. And the oil and gas companies, as you are well aware, use pretty heavy-duty equipment. And so the impact has been significant, and we need to do something to improve these roads. With the severance tax money, mineral lease funds that the oil and gas companies provide for the state of Utah and to Uinta County, they have requested that we approach the CIB and see if we can get some funding to make some very much needed improvements to this 2.9-mile stretch. The project will be threefold. This is the first phase of the improvements to the collector roads in this area. So we will be back in the future for a second phase and a third phase, but this is the most impacted area currently right now. And so we'll turn it over to Bart, and he'll give you more details. And then if you have any questions, we welcome those, and we'll try and answer your questions.
Thank you.
Honestly, I don't know that I have a lot to add unless there's questions technically about the road or anything. I would note that I noticed it seems like there's a discrepancy on the agenda, but it looks like it's correct in the application. I don't know if it looks like the grant request amount was the one that was used in the tool, but I don't know if is that correct? The one I printed off.
Was that a null print?
I just printed it the maybe two nights ago. But okay, I'm sorry. No, so what you have is correct. So, but yeah, any questions on the road there?
Ms. Hansen.
Thank you so much. Is this road serving primarily just industry, or do you anticipate development or homes or any other businesses going in the area that would use the road as well?
Thank you, Laura. Historically, like I mentioned earlier, it has been agriculture, and so the road itself was not built to withstand the impacts from the heavy equipment, from the 18-wheelers, the tanker trucks, the equipment movers, earth movers, moving trailers and stuff like that across this road. And so now with the increased activity from Leland Bench, there has been a lot of additional oil and gas trucks on this road, which has really impacted it. So now the primary users, the agriculture still exists, and they try and work together, but with the increased activity, it's really had an impact on this road.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking, you know, if development were happening in the area, would you be able to collect impact fees at some point in the future to help you maintain it once it goes on? But it sounds like it's serving primarily ag and industry areas, so that might not be an option for you.
Absolutely, yeah, correct.
That makes sense. I'm feeling in the mood as well, and am happy to make a motion to give them what they've requested, unless there's other questions. But
what they requested is outside the tool, even though the numbers meet the minimum, the interest rate is not.
Yeah.
Is outside the
tool.
Oh,
I see that. Okay, so. I see that. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you amend that to like a half a percent at least?
I'll make the motion that we put this on the priority list with a 4.98 million grant, 3.735 loan, 15 years at a half a percent.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. I'll second that.
Seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew.
Discussion.
The updated grant amount is the 8 million.
The updated grant amount is the 8 million. So the version I'm looking at is correct.
We have some problems with our screens.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah, the one on this one screen is the correct one.
Okay. So I will adjust my motion to match that with a half a percent increase or interest rate.
Thank you. And can I add that we have been over our mineral lease distributions and have made the appropriate funding studies to show that our UTSSD would be able to make the payments on the 15-year zero-interest loan with our current funding levels if we can get it at that level. So we appreciate that.
Great. Does that work?
Question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
In your minutes, you had indicated that you're willing to take 60-40 split. You're comfortable with that. And you noticed that we are short already in the money, and Brittany told us that we will have the challenge to provide the funding for the rest of the project. So will you take less in Merry Christmas?
Thank you, Nargi, and we recognize that. But we would request that the board remember that this is for the this is going to provide improvements to the source of CIB funding.
Right.
So rather than impacting the funding source, this should help because it's going to open up more development, more production from the Leland Bench area. So we feel like this is a fair distribution and something that the transportation district can afford to do.
And you also kindly confess that this is the phase one of three.
Yes.
So you're going to come back. And
we want to be straight up.
So you want to be a good customer, so help us to help you. Just a little bit of tech, a little bit less today and a little bit more tomorrow, maybe some when we have more money. That's just my observation from what we have for today. You have another 10 projects to go after you. And you're the largest one as a project, you know,
yes,
demand. So if you would like to have, you have a heart to take a little bit less to give us the opportunity to have more money for all the projects today, appreciate it.
Thank you. So real quick, question from Commissioner Adams, and then Commissioner Lytle has his hand raised online, and then I'll give that to Mayor Baker.
So, Mark, are you putting any money in, or is it all coming from CIB?
Say that again.
Are you putting any money in the project, or is it all coming from CIB?
Okay. This will all be CIB funded, either in grant and in loan.
And that will be the case in the other two phases as well?
I anticipate it will be the same,
Okay.
But unknown at this point.
Okay.
Okay, Commissioner Lytle.
Hi, Mark. This is Jack. What percent, in terms of increasing the value, I guess, to the mineral lease fund or to mineral lease dollars, what percent of that road is used for those federal wells, I guess you could say, for lack of other words, because a lot of it is also tribal as well as off private lands and non-federal minerals, correct? I think, first of all, I'm in favor of the project, but I think I was trying to see where there's a cost sharing. It says there's non-CIB funds. Is that just the loan amount, the $3,735,000?
Yes.
In terms of the cost sharing? Okay. All right.
Thank you, Candace.
So I'm not sure.
What percent, I guess, is my question of federal, the effect for federal? Is that the Leland Bench part of it that it'll support? Or is it also supporting a lot of other, either tribal and or
the private? Thank you, Jack. This area of Leland Bench is some of it, it's a checkerboard pattern. And so some of the land that's being utilized for oil and gas development is on tribal. Some of it is on federal lands, and some of it is on private. We have a checkerboard pattern out there, and so it's kind of difficult to see exactly where all of the development will take place. But what I can say is that in Uinta County, over 60% of the land is owned by federal government,
right,
which makes it really difficult for the private sector and for private landowners. But we have to abide by what we're dealt from the federal government. And so it does make it kind of difficult for us, and we do our best. But this is having an impact on private landowners and on settler lands and on federal government, mostly BLM. Does that help, Jack?
Yeah, it does. I just, in terms of just trying to fine-tune a little bit in terms of how your request looks, or as you tell the story, it has a very, very large impact.
Hey, Jack, I would also add that a large portion of these trucks that are traveling, as you can see in the pictures, they're side dump trucks. They're hauling sand that is being processed for frac sand. And so the product that's coming out of this particular location, one of the products, I guess I should say, is frac sand that's being used all over, including on federal land. So it's contributing to the development of the resources on all the lands described, I guess. Does that make sense? So it's being imported, processed, and then exported to those wells that are on federal and private and tribal lands. So
yeah, that's all I have. Thank you.
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
So, in support of what Nagy was saying, since you guys are going to be coming back, and the fact that we're at least $1 million short on what we project to have in order to fund everything else today, and I know towards the end of the agenda there's some small items that are really going to need to be funded, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the substitute motion would be to extend the same $8.715 million grant. But then I want to cut the loan amount back to $2,735,000, so cut it $1 million on the loan at the 0.5% interest rate to keep it within the tool range. That still puts you at the minimum, tool range, right? And remember that Uinta County already gets favorable terms relative to everywhere else, because we do understand that most of the mineral revenues that come to CIB come from Uinta County. So we're not discounting that. That was already considered as part of the tool. So the fact that, and the tool is pretty wide on this, right, in terms of how much grant and loan. So the fact that we're extending to you the minimum amount, I think, is a really good deal for Uinta County. I think you can come back and get more of this later, but kind of what Nagy was saying, I want to make sure that we preserve enough of CIB's funds that hopefully we can get everything funded and we won't have to make tough decisions in the next funding meeting. So,
clarification.
Yeah.
That is not giving us the money for the grant. We are short on the grant money too, so we need to reduce the grants a little bit in order to.
Oh, because that doesn't give us the money. 60-40,
that's why.
60-40 would be $7,470,000 in grant and $4,980,000 in loan.
So I'll amend that motion.
We keep the interest rate the same at 0.5. Paul, would you please project on the. We can see all.
Yeah.
That way you will see visually what it's going to be. It is?
Okay. So, Chairman, while they're doing that, just let me throw the tidbit in that nobody's really discussed. We're talking benefit in oil and gas, well locos, extractions. There's residents that are right in the middle of this, and they are impacted tremendously with all this truck traffic, and it's off the road and broken. They're down to where they're about to dirt roads.
Yeah, right. No, and we understand, and we want the project to move forward.
That understand that this is, it is a crucial need. Yes, it does involve and help the oil and gas, but we're also trying to take those residents that have been there forever that are now so impacted with that extraction around them that they feel beat up. And I've talked to them and heard from them. They don't like it because they said, we have the nice, quiet, peaceful little area with a road. It wasn't the best of roads, but we could get by on it. But now,
we're trying, we're exploring belt tightening. You know, I mean, I think that there's obviously support for the project. It's just the belt tightening we're going through.
And down to the midsection is the right there. You can see it's close. We're just trying to make sure that we have.
I promise you, I'm dressed up in green and my Santa Claus tie, so I'm ready to give the money away. But you have 10 more projects, and last one is just a small one. We need to make sure we don't have to wait until February to say, sorry, we don't have the money.
Yeah. Okay, so
they'll get funded in another phase.
Yes.
Let me
get,
we're at in terms of
we're installing these poor little people down the road.
It's going to take three phases to help all of them. So we're just trying to say, in this funding cycle.
So we have Kurt made a substitute motion.
Right.
And you've amended that for the 60-40?
Right. So reduce the grant by, $600,000?
So the updated numbers are $7,470,000 in grant, and in loan is $4,980,000, if my math is right.
Yes, that's the right number.
Oh, wait. So $4 million.
I'm sorry. That
okay.
I increased the loan to shift.
Yes. No. Yeah, we... Oh, are you going with the median?
Yeah, that's the one, the 60-40.
Okay, so they had requested minimum.
You want to reduce...
I'm putting the baseline as the minimum, okay? But then I'm reducing it from the minimum, $600,000 on the grant and $400,000 on the loan from the minimum, to give us an extra $1 million to hopefully fund everything else that we have. And that keeps us... Does that work? Does that...
Well, this one is even better. The substitute one even better. 60-40, they get more money.
They get more money.
Them a substitute one.
Because we want them to... Like you say, Nagy, we want to give as much as we can.
Hold on one sec, guys. Hold on. Let me make sure the board's... So do we have a second to the substitute motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a second. Discussion on the substitute motion.
And again, I hope that you understand what we're trying to accomplish. We are here to help you, and because you're going to be three phases, if it was the last and final phase, you would have said, okay, that's all you need, and that's all we're going to give you. But you're coming back. You make more money, second phase or third phase, because of the availability of the funds.
Okay.
I understand that. The only thing that I would like to clarify is that this project is going to help ensure continued funding for the CIB. These other projects, and I'd have the greatest deal of respect for them, how many of them, by granting their request, how many of them are going to give back an increase for funding for the CIB? Just keep that in mind.
And I promise you this, we're going to have the same argument with them. You just stay put and mm-hmm. listen to the rest of us. We're going to do the same thing.
And, Commissioner Miles, please.
And I would concur with that. I think there's a lot of mineral extraction that happens on this road. We share the same trajectory into Duchesne County, and so we've seen the same type of impacts. Since in-basin sand was starting to be used, this road has just been inundated with traffic. And I would say this project saves the state of Utah millions of dollars, because instead of bringing Wisconsin sand from the rail yard in Price, it's on our roads now.
Okay.
And so I think we're saving the state money, because millions of tons of frac sand is being moved in basin instead of into basin. And so I think it's a cost savings in the long run for the state. Thank you.
Ms. Powers, I'll call for a roll call vote on the substitute motion, please.
And the substitute motion is for a total of $11,450,000, of which there's a $7,870,000 grant and a $4,580,000 loan, 15 years at 0.5%.
Okay, I don't think that's right, Candace. I think the loan amount should be less than the $3,735,000 requested. It should be $400,000 less, so it should be $3,335,000 on the loan, and then just over $8 million on the grant. Yeah.
Well, we reduced the total amount.
You redid it.
That's okay. What I redid.
Okay, so $3 million.
That's
the right amount. The amount that you have there is right. You said $4 million, though.
It's on the minimum, right?
It's on the minimum.
Okay.
Yeah.
$3,435,000 loan.
Yeah.
$6 million.
No.
Eight.
No.
$8 million.
Of the grant.
Grant. Eight grant is $8 million.
So, is that the total amount then? Now it's not the 11. They didn't raise it.
It doesn't add up. So
that doesn't add up.
Does
it?
No,
the grant is what she said.
$5 million.
$489,000 loan.
Wait. So.
Yeah, that's right. So the minimum. You're right.
Yeah, that is right.
So $3,435,000. In loan amount, 15 years, the 0.5%, and $8,015,000 in grant, for a total of $11,450,000. So they reduced the total request by $1 million. Is that correct? That's your motion.
That's my motion.
That's clear to you all? Okay.
So you're still seconding then? Canada.
Yes.
Okay.
That okay with you, Laura?
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm good with that. Thank
okay.
you.
Mm-hmm. You said that'll work?
That'll work.
Okay.
Let's vote on this.
Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
No.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Aye.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye, with the Merry Christmas.
That motion passes with one nay and the chairman abstaining.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good job from the board. Oh, no, that's great. We got through it. That was good. Up next, we have item 4.3, which is the Central Valley Town 2025 Roadway Improvements. And the request is for $287,000, $287,394. And this project is in Sevier County. Welcome.
Welcome to Central Valley Town. Please introduce yourselves to the board and provide a brief overview of the project.
Good morning. I'm Mayor Gary Barney from Central Valley Town. I have with me today Dave Brown, which is a town council member.
And Nielsen.
Dave Nielsen.
Yeah, Dave Nielsen. And McLean Farmer with Jones and DeMille. And we're requesting a $287,394,000 grant to finish a road project.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Yes, Commissioner Adams.
How much commercial property tax do you receive?
We don't receive any commercial property tax because we have really no commercial.
That's good. I make a motion. We give them what they've requested, and I know it's outside the tool, but because they really don't have the ability to pay back any loan. If we give them a $58,000 loan, it's not even worth doing. It's got to be a more than $100,000 to make it worth it. So,
second. I'll second. Okay. Motion to place the project on the priority list as requested by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Commissioner Bartholomew. Discussion.
We need an exception reason.
Yes.
I said financial hardship.
With a financial hardship exemption, seeing no additional discussion, I'll call for a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
No.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes one against.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bruce, I'd just like to say I can't sing, rise, and shout. I'm an Aggie. It would stick in my throat if I tried.
Good thing you said it after instead of before.
Why don't we take just a brief bathroom break?
That was close.
10-minute recess. Hey, we'll be back in 10.
Don't take too long.
Make our way back to the table from the truck.
I made a call to order.
There you go. Wow.
That's good. That's real good.
I learned how to whistle like that when I was 11 years old.
Moving the cattle?
We used to drive our cows to Rock Creek, our range permit.
Yep.
And there's a big, long flat. And it takes about 3 hours to drive the cows across that flat. And my brother gave me some pointers when we started. And by the time we got to the highway on the other end of the flat, I figured it out.
And that's the introduction to the song you're about to sing. Oh, sorry.
And let's not do that.
Okay.
Jacket is not nice.
Are we live?
Recording in progress.
Okay. Welcome everyone back. Next up on the agenda is item 4-4 for the Castle Valley Special Service District for consolidated capital projects in 2025. The request is $3,440,000. Come on up, gentlemen, with $1.8 million in grant, $1.64 million in loans, 6 years at 1.5%. Please introduce yourselves to the board and provide a brief overview of the project.
Thank you, Curtis. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Nagy and everybody. All the board, good to be here with you guys. Bruce, congratulations, and been a good friend over the years. We appreciate you in Emery County. Yeah, our project, $1.8 million grant request, $1.64 million loan. We also are. We also have $316,000 cash that we're going to put in towards the project. This is a project very similar to ones that Castle Valley has done every year. for a long time. A lot of capital improvement projects. There are some street improvements, drainage improvements. But last few years, we've kind of shifted our focus to old deteriorating infrastructure, some infrastructure that's been around since before the district existed, specifically asbestos cement or AC transite pipelines. So a lot of the money that is there is going to replacing that with new water pipeline. We're trying to utilize this GO bond money that we have, again, focusing on replacing that old infrastructure that we have in the ground. So I don't want to take too much time, or certainly open to questions and ready for them. So I'm Jacob Sharp, the district manager, Merrill Johansson with Johansson Tuttle Engineering, and you guys know Alex Buxton, yes. Zions Bank Public Finance.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion to accept as requested.
I'll second.
Motion made to place this project on the priority list as requested, seconded by Commissioner Miles.
Can I just say something? You know, this district has been coming since I started here, you know, just right after the Civil War. And the thing I really like about what they're doing is they have a 10-year bond that you pass in
we
the
do.
County.
Yeah, a GO bond.
You yep. know, the citizens want to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
They want part of it in a loan, and they want whatever they can get in a grant. They qualify for more grants than we're giving them today, but
let's not open the can of worm.
Yeah,
that would fit.
Well, they're a good example to other people who you know, they get this bond passed, and then they have all of these projects that they can do on a yearly basis. So I really applaud the CIB for working with them. I applaud Jacob. He's awesome, and his associates here, Zions Bank, and they do it right. I want to recognize that fact.
And the fact they're going to pay up in 6 years, that we can use the money again to do other projects.
Yep.
I wish you could too, to other communities and commissioners and mayors and city managers to do the same thing, cooperative and detailed.
We're fortunate in the way that yeah. it's set up and the way that it works in the county. So.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jacob. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Powers, we'll have a roll call vote, please. This is to place the project on the priority list as requested.
Mr. Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much. Bruce, do you play the guitar too? I didn't know you sang. No?
I didn't bring a guitar.
But do you play the guitar?
No.
Can you sing that around the campfire with the guitar?
I sing a lot around the campfire.
No guitar needed.
Well, no. I tell stories and sing to my grandkids, and they tell me, Grandpa, please don't do
this. I've never wanted to move to Monticello more than this morning.
I don't do this in front of other people. But they like the story.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Okay, up next we have item 4-5. The Town of Fayette Water System Improvements. The request is for a $90,000 grant. Welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'm the mayor of the Town of Fayette. My name is Jed Bartholomew.
Welcome.
I'm Garrett Wilden with Jones and the Mill Engineering.
Welcome. Thank you. Any comments just regarding the project before we...
Yeah, I'd like to just take a few minutes and explain, because there's a lot in these numbers that aren't really here. Ever since I was a mayor, our water source is our one single greatest resource we have. It's the only thing we have. It's one thing I seek to protect. And since being the mayor, it's our one weak spot. We've had a lot of trouble with it, and as a town, we've tried to improve it the best we can, and we're to this point where I need to ask for help. It's on a leg of power by itself, and that is our problem. It's just short of a mile. It's about 3,000 feet off the main line. and it's susceptible to bird strikes, lightning strikes, wind, everything. It keeps shutting down. Even as of a month ago, our well went dry, and I had to run up there, and fortunately was able to fix it and get water restored back to the town before it became a problem, but our tank was completely dry at that point. And so as a town, we've set forth and we've put lightning protection on it. We have the last lightning protection actually blew up our chlorine tank, since we've had to completely rewire all of our electrical on it. And we put in a monitoring system on it ourselves at approximately $100,000 for all those projects. And as a town of only about 250 people, we've kind of met our end. And yeah, we're not asking for a lot, but we just need a little help moving forward and securing our future in this.
Sure. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
And I'll second, but I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Please.
Your minutes leave a little to be desired.
Hallelujah.
So your public hearing minutes need to be a little more robust. We don't get much detail in the minutes that you provided in your application. So please keep that in mind for future public hearings. They need to just be a little bit more inclusive.
Yes,
a discussion and conversation.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I assume the exemption would be financial hardship.
For sure.
Yeah.
Financial hardship exemption. Okay, Ms. Powers.
I have a small observation. Has any other civil engineering, the engineering and consulting firms gone bankrupt? All the Mills and Jones is the one today. What happened to the rest? Are you giving the Christmas special? Is that what it is?
We love rural Utah.
Okay, thank you. Just my observation this morning was just that, the Mills and Jones. Thank you being here.
Hey, we're still here.
I know. So far, I said.
Thank you,
Jim.
You bet. Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Please, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Due to the fact that it might be a relationship here, I probably accuse myself.
You are.
I can see the resemblance.
I'm the better looking one.
I don't know if I'd go that far. But.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
A robust yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with Commissioner Bartholomew abstaining.
You know, I want to say, with a lot of the mayors that you see on the news and TV, it's cool to see a mayor that when his town's water supply gets messed up, he's got to go roll up his sleeves and go address it. So that's pretty cool.
Let me comment on that. Ask him how he found out there was no water.
I got up and turned my faucet on, and it didn't run. We do everything for the town. It's just me and a very old lady that does the books, and I got to take care of the rest of the town. So
yeah,
it's something we strive to try to keep the cost down and do the best we can.
He, when it snows, they come and get my tractor and put a blade on it. Spray the weeds, they come and get my weed sprayer. Dig a hole, they come and get my fence holes.
It takes a village to run a village.
he needs to be commended.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, do you want to sit on that table to ask for money for your tractor? It is the time now.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, up next we have item 4-6, Centerfield City. Request is for culinary water pipeline improvements for East San Pete County. Request is for $2,193,000, $1,096,000 in grant, $1,097,000 in loan, 30 years at 1%. And welcome.
Thank you. My name is Travis Leatherwood. I'm the mayor in Centerfield. I just want to give you a little background on some of this. We're very blessed, very grateful. We came to CIB a few years ago, helped us get some water, because we ended up having to go into a moratorium for the year of 2022 because we didn't have enough water to supply to the town. You were very gracious, helped us out with that. We acquired the equivalent of the other half of our well that we were already in, but with that presented new challenges. One of those challenges we anticipated a little bit was to be able to bring the water 12 miles through a pipe from Mayfield to our tanks in Centerfield. With that, we had an original estimate going forward of $4.5 million to upgrade all that infrastructure. We took some time to evaluate all our needs, exactly how much we could get. We had 147 ERCs that we could deliver from the well at the time of purchase, leaving 322 ERCs that we have but can deliver to the town. And we, in this process, noticed a number of faults or deficiencies within our own systems, including fire suppression on a couple of areas in town, which obviously we want to address. So moving forward, we've worked with Jones and DeMille. We've reduced that number. We've identified and through Garrett here has been great. But I've identified a different way of going about it that would be more cost efficient for the town, and then hence that's why we're here requesting what we're at.
Thank you. Question? Yes, Commissioner.
I noticed in the application it shows your average bill, but what is your base rate for water?
Base rate is $30 for a residential base rate, $30. We've upped it $5. We've gone through that process and stuff. In the last, I think, year and a half, we made that change.
Thank you.
Chairman Zanotti.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
Being a water project, have you applied to other sources for funding?
To this point, no.
You haven't.
We have not.
And I also noticed that the Department of the, let's say, DEQ was supposed to be asking you to investigate your pipelines for high points and air locks. Have you done that yet?
I'm going to defer to Garrick on that one.
Okay.
That is part of the project. Is we ran some calculations when we feel there is an airlock between the spring source and where they have some pumps that'll pressurize their pipeline.
Okay.
But we feel there is an airlock there, but we need to do some more investigation to verify that.
Aren't you supposed to do that before coming before CIB to get your money? Wasn't that part of the condition?
We have. I guess it would be difficult to tell exactly where that is.
Okay.
And so, but we have not done that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other questions for the applicant or a motion to place the project on the priority list?
I'll make the motion to put it on the priority list as requested.
As requested. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Ms. Hansen.
Would you make a condition upon this inspection, Commissioner Bartholomew?
Sure.
Please.
Be happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call for a roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers. Yes?
Comment? The Division of Drinking Water has a requirement with these motions. Do you see at the bottom?
Yes.
That should be part of it?
Oh, yeah.
Plan has to be submitted, approved.
You want me to read those off?
Yes.
Okay. It's recommended that the funding is subject to the following special conditions. Number one, plans and specs for the project must be reviewed and approved by the Division of Drinking Water prior to advertising the project for bids.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what they're going to require you to do the inspection.
Thank you.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the chairman abstaining.
Thank you. Okay, up next is item 4.7, the Kane County Human Resource Special Service District. This request is for a hospital outpatient service building. The request is for $5 million in loan, 25 years at 2.5%. We'll welcome the representatives from the Kane County Human Resource SSD to the table. And they've got a beautiful rendering for us. Look at that.
I do. And I think I'll just
I don't want to leave it up here while we're trying to talk, but this gives you an idea of what we're trying to do. My name is Jeff Mosdell. I am the board chair of the Kane County Human Resource Special Service District Board, doing business as Kane County Hospital. I've been on the board about 8 years. We came before you as a board, a CIB, a couple of years ago and got a loan to redo the hospital. Mm-hmm. And we got a new CEO who's sitting next to me. And one of the things we challenged him with is to recognize and identify some of the challenges we're going to face in the future with an aging population, which is most of southern Utah faces the same challenge. And we think this is going to address a lot of the challenges. Some of the biggest ones are dialysis and chemotherapy in our area are huge, and people are having to travel to St. George, some people five times a week, and this will address some of those issues and then a few other issues that we have in an aging population. And so we're trying to do that to help our, we're not asking for complete funding, we are just asking for a portion of our project, and it is all in a loan, not anything else today. And I'll let these other two gentlemen give you a little bit more specifics on that. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
You bet.
Hi, Chairman and Commissioner. I'm Kurt Loveless. I'm the CEO at Kane County Hospital. And one of the things that we have been focused on is our ability to take care of our residents in our community. Right now, they have to drive an hour and a half to St. George for dialysis, which is usually three times a week, chemotherapy, which could be every day. We're currently doing IV therapy in a renovated waiting room. We put up some partitions and put some chairs in there, and that's how we're doing IV therapy. We have one OR in our hospital. If we have a mother in there with a C-section and we're trying to do a gallbladder or anything like that, it makes complications for our patients. And so in our new building, we will have some additional OR suites. We'll have physical therapy, IV therapy, chemotherapy, and dialysis. These are needs that have been identified in our community that there's a lot of driving for. And so the project is to expand that. We don't have any room in the hospital. We are completely full. There's not a broom closet to expand into, so we're creating this new outpatient services building to expand some of these services. Anyway, open it up for any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams, we'll just go down the line.
Well, the board knows how I feel about hospitals, and I know what Kane County is going through because they're in the path of the downwinders testing in Nevada, as well as Monticello and folks in San Juan County. So cancer is a real problem because of what was done when there was testing done in Nevada. They also have been involved over there in uranium extraction and exposure for a number of things. And they've just... The residents just need these kind of facilities close to them. You can do telehealth medicine and stuff for a lot of things, but when it comes to chemotherapy and radiation treatment for people who have cancer, the board knows that my wife went through a cancer 10 years ago, maybe 11. How long? Oh,
10.
10. 10. 11.
11.
So, and that, you know, just having experienced that with her, and it was easy for me, but it was tough on her. But just knowing that those kind of things can be addressed on a local basis if they have the facilities. So if you want a motion, I'll make a motion, but I want to let others also speak.
Commissioner?
I remember in the Uinta Basin when we finally got a dialysis center, and this has been years ago, and the difference that it made for those families. It's a huge time commitment, and it's a wonderful thing to have those facilities close to your home and it improves the quality of life of our residents. So I applaud what you're trying to accomplish.
And we came over to Uinta Basin actually to preview the dialysis center that they had one, of course, in Roosevelt, and then they built a new one in Vernal. And so Jim Marshall and his team were very accommodating to help us process those ideas and how to get this started. So thank you to Uinta.
So, Bruce, I just want you to know that the downwinders, that stopped right on the Sevier San Pete County line. We were very fortunate. It didn't cross that line into San Pete.
Well,
my concern, I have a little different view on this. My concern is, as I get a little bit older, like Bruce, I spent a lot of time in the hospital and support you guys. And I know how much I have to pay for these services. And I've always wondered why you can't build your own facilities on the revenues that you receive.
I can address that. Just, I've been on the board 8 years, and every time we've looked at doing a dialysis center with all the requirements, most of our mix of payers is a Medicaid, Medicare type of payer. That's the majority of what we pay. And with all their regulations, dialysis in and of itself, and this is just dialysis, to be a paying proposition, you have to have like 15 or 20 patients. And there's just not that amount of patients in our area. And so in this project, it actually, I don't know whether we will ever make any money off our dialysis in the center. It's done as a community service, because it's going to be a losing proposition, which we as a board are happy to spend money on. We have, you know, some income coming in, and we're happy to subsidize that to provide that service to our community members so they don't have to travel. And the same thing with chemotherapy. I don't know whether those two things will ever make money for us on this project, but it is a necessary need so our community members don't have to travel. The other thing I would say is I have a unique perspective on the effect this has on our population. I'm the town mortician, have been for 30 years. And we have actually lost people because during travel to get chemotherapy and dialysis. And that's something that's weighed heavily on my mind as a board member. To lose somebody who is going to seek medical services is just unconscionable to me, especially when it's something I think that if we get the funding and we get the needs, we can make it so they don't have to travel. And it was directly the travel, not the medication, not the dialysis. It was the travel that caused those deaths. And there's been about 10 of them in the last decade. So this is something we're definitely trying to do to increase the overall health, whether it pays for itself or not.
Thank you. I think the rationale for the facility and the services is there. You know, on your public hearing on November 21st in your notes, there were comments to the tune that the primary motivation for coming to CIB is for a lower interest rate and that the board currently possesses the reserves to cover the building costs. That's kind of where I get a little heartburn is we're spending time on the rationale for it. I understand that. But on the financial aspect, we have to manage, you know, the amount of funds we have for these other communities that they don't have the reserves. And so my concern is this the best we can do as a board if we decide to support the project? And, are you guys tightening your belt as much as possible? Because when I read that, right, I mean, it's good, frank, you know, honest information, but again, most of the communities that we're serving here at the CIB, they don't have the money and the reserves, and we don't want to punish you for being financially responsible, but we have a job to do as well.
And Chairman, I appreciate that. So let me just, if I could, address that particular question. 12 years ago, this hospital couldn't make payroll. It was really struggling, and we had a board member that resigned at our board meeting this week. He'd been on the board for 17 years. And he said, I finally feel like that I can resign because the hospital's finally in a place where we can move forward and not have to worry about meeting payroll. As we've gone through this project, we've done a lot of planning up front with MHTN, our architectural firm. We've already paid them $1 million cash, from our reserves. The total project's going to be about $26.7 million before we even get into the equipment for the ORs. we're asking, we're going out for loan financing for $20 million, so $5 million from the CIB and $15 million from the private sector. The hospital would be putting in that additional $8 million from the reserves that fiscally minded that we've been able to put aside. The other thing that I would like to point out, as a hospital, we have kept our charges low. There are 52 hospitals in the state. We're the 51st lowest charging hospital. Mm-hmm. So I'm personally very thankful for that. I have a son that was born with leukemia, spent $1 million at MD Anderson his first 6 months there. So I'm very keen to the charges in hospitals. Unfortunately, the regulatory situation and everything around, like dialysis, it really is hard to provide that service at any margin whatsoever. So the margins that you get in hospitals, if you think about the healthcare industry, there's been 120 hospitals closed in the last 4 years because these critical access hospitals in these small rural communities do not have the margins that larger facilities have. And it's because of efficiencies. I have to have a full-time nursing staff, whether I have one patient in the ER or whether I have 30 patients in the ER. Mm-hmm. I still have to have nurses there. And so we don't make the same kind of money that HCA and Tenet and Intermountain Health and those types of entities make. It's just a different world in the rural healthcare community.
I understand that. So just so I'm clear, so the $5 million in loan from the CIB, so you're going to the private sector for the majority of the vertical construction loan.
Correct.
At a rate that's, you know, going to be, I would assume, much higher than the CIB rate at 2.5. So is your $5 million request, is that kind of more being used as like a down payment on the private sector loan?
No. So when I first started talking about the CIB loan with the five county people, we asked, our first request was much greater. We were going to try to do the project with the CIB money. And at that time, they indicated that there was just no way that, quite frankly, we would get anything north of $5 million. So the $5 million is to obviously have a little bit lower interest rate and be a little bit easier for us to cover the debt service on a private placement. We're potentially in the four-plus rate. And when you just think about debt service, you know, the interest portion of that kind of piles up. So we're trying everything we can just to remain fiscally responsible and be able to pay back all of these loans. At the same time, you know, make sure that our hospital stays open and continues to provide these services to our community.
Thank you. Yes, Chairman Zanotti.
Thank you. For the record, I lost my brother to leukemia, so I know exactly what everybody has a pain to go through, and I support your program, too. I'm just amazed that we can send a man to the moon, but yet still have not found a cure for cancer. That's just puzzlement that I don't know how to express that. My question is specifically to you, Mr. Lovelace. You had commented and suggested that board members should consider mineral revenues from Kane County in considering your application. Can you give us a little update about the Alton Coal Company and what kind of revenue you're referring to in order for us to make that decision for you?
So as I understand it, from talking to the county commissioners and various people in King County, I talked to the county treasurer, we are a very limited coal mining or mining resource county. I think the county takes in just a little bit over $100,000 a year in mining revenues. So when I come before this board, I realize that we are not a county that puts into the funds in this board. That's why we've only asked for a loan, and when you look at the application, we're offering to pay the highest interest rate of today. And we already have a CIB loan that we're paying back, and so we're hoping that that this is something that, at least through it being a loan, we're paying that back. The CIB funds are growing, at least at that interest rate. But as a county, I recognize that we do not contribute to the pool for the CIBC from a mining perspective.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that's clear on that one because I did not find any source and resource for that claim that you have made in your comments.
We'd like you to be producing. You've got the potential,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think with in King County, we are maybe one of the largest counties in the state that has parks and federal lands and things like that. And so, you know, it all depends upon the administration and how much they let you do mining. The Alton coal mine, I don't know if that's ever going to open back up again or not. You know, I'm told right now that there's not a lot going on in the King County from a mining perspective.
So. Just the last follow-up question.
Yes.
This is the last and only phase you're going to have of this particular building and facilities.
Yeah, I have another poster board back there that kind of shows our land, but we're kind of landlocked. We've got this about 3-acre parcel that's kind of the front corner of our property, and we'll actually tie the new building into the old building. Then we're kind of landlocked. We are building some shell space in this building. One of the things that always happens when you build a hospital, the minute you're done, you're out of space. And so we've built some shell space in provisions into this so that hopefully that will address the future. We are, you know, looking at things in the future that we would put in that shell space, but we're not quite ready to pull the trigger on those yet.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Another follow-up, if I could. You made the comment that you've got you're paying the highest percentage rate that we offer. We actually offer a 4%. Could you go to 4% on this?
Well, I was going to suggest that maybe we go down to the... you know, I want to be fair. I really do. I appreciate where everybody's coming from. You know, if we get to the 4% level, does it make sense to have two loans? And I'm just being practical here. If you turned this down today, I would go to the private sector for the full $20 million, and I'd pay the higher interest rate. So it is about trying to preserve our reserves and having that lower interest rate. So I would really not like to do that. So, I mean, that's...
How about 3%?
3% if that's what it takes.
Is that a motion?
No, it's yours.
Okay, I'll make the motion to offer the $5 million loan at 3%.
I second that motion.
Okay. Discussion on that item, on the motion. Seeing none, I'll call for... Yes.
I have one discussion item. So I'd just like to be consistent as a board. And so I know, Bruce, I know you guys had a hospital, right? Mm-hmm. What were the terms that we gave Bruce? Because I don't think those counties are that dissimilar. I think, you know, San Juan County has a little bit more mineral production than Kane, but not a tremendous amount. Mm-hmm. So can anybody tell me... When it came to their healthcare facility and we extended a loan to them, what the rate on that was?
Well, I had Candace pull it up because I was curious.
Yeah, okay.
So we've done a 2.5 for Gunnison, a 3.5 for Milford, and a 3.5 for Milford.
3 is the mid-range.
For Milford. What about San Pete, though, for the San Pete healthcare facility?
San Juan.
I'm sorry.
That was just for equipment.
We turned them down on
for the MRI machine or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, what was it on the equipment though? What'd you say?
0.5.
Okay. So I know they got a whole bunch of that funded from the state. I don't know that that's an option here, right? And so I'm just trying to be consistent, right?
You
we have
know
a lot
a
of
guy.
Needs.
You got to know a guy.
You got to know a guy, and Bruce's not a guy. A really good guy, by the way. No,
you may hire out.
But I'm just saying, you know, I think there's, like, we need to be consistent with this board in terms of the terms that we offer people. I don't necessarily have a preference either way. Like, if we go 3, you know, or 2.5, like, I think we could justify either way. I'm just interested in being more consistent than just arbitrarily picking a number based on what we're feeling in the moment, right? And so,
yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It sounds like the 3% is in line, though.
Yes. So you're saying we ought to go 3.5 then?
So just a point.
I'm not saying that either. I think, you know, a lower rate was probably more in line with what we've done before, though. That's all I'm saying.
One second. I've got a Commissioner Lytle.
Yeah.
please.
So I just have a question, and I don't know the answer. So, and for board discussion, what if we get along the lines of what Uinta County's deal? What if we loan them a little bit less money, $1 million, to free up the one end of it, and then stayed with the requested interest rate? What do people think of that idea?
Well, the problem is they don't have another phase, right? So the Uinta County deal was they're coming back for a second phase, so the intent was they could pick up that $1 million in a request on their next phase rather than this phase. If we don't give them the $1 million, I don't think they have the opportunity to come back at a future meeting for that $1 million.
Well, they'd have to come out of pocket or probably borrow the private sector loan.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just for the board's information, we have an existing CIB loan, and the interest rate is 2.5%. I tried to match that so that we're staying consistent.
Yeah, but we're dealing with inflation.
So we do have a motion on the table to place the project on the priority list at 3%. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we can vote on that and not approve it, or we can have a substitute motion. But unless there's a substitute motion or any other discussion, I'll call for a vote.
Okay.
The request is for $5 million loan, 25-year at 3%. Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yep.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
It's a beautiful building.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay. Next item, 4.8, is the Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS District. The request is for a paramedic emergency response vehicle in Daggett County. The request is for a $200,000 grant. Welcome, gentlemen.
Tell us
about your project.
Steve Forbes, the district manager, part-time district manager for Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS.
Brett Reynolds, board member.
Casey Olson, EMS director.
And thank you guys for having us here. And I want to use a brief moment and introduce ourselves. You guys may be familiar with the name Flaming Gorge Fire and EMS because roughly a year ago, the district took over the Manila Fire Department, and as part of that, took on the CIB loan that was already in existence with the town of Manila. But I wanted to share a little bit about our operation and what's changed. So in the last year, there's been significant change in terms of emergency services in Daggett County. And the reason for it was because the county and municipal leadership in that area recognized that over the past decade, there's been moments where there's been significant shortfall in terms of emergency service capabilities within the area, to the point that it's really not hyperbole to say that there's been points in recent years where if you call 911 in Daggett County, you would likely be getting an ambulance from Green River, Wyoming, or from all the way down in the basin coming from Vernal. And we've been very fortunate. Casey Olson, our new EMS director, is a native of Daggett County and has put a lot of time and personal commitment into developing himself and getting into the field of emergency medical services, gaining certifications, and is now becoming a leader for EMS services. In the past, fire services were run by the municipalities, EMS service was run by the county, and everything was fragmented and a little bit disjointed, and there was a lot of operational flaws because of that. And that was the reason for the formation of the district, was to improve emergency services and get us to a point where we are reliable and our residents can feel certain and know that the services are available when they need them. Anyone familiar with Daggett County knows that it's a resilient folk that live up there, and that's why when 911 calls perhaps required a longer response, it didn't make it onto KSL News and things like that. But it's a definite need, and as we're taking over operation over the last year of the Manila Fire Department and in recent months, the ambulance service from Daggett County, we've really just recognized that we have some immediate needs that we need to address, and we also have some long-term goals and things that we need to do for our district. Our district encompasses the entirety of Daggett County with the exception of the town of Dutch John. So it's a broad area, and the immediate need that we're bringing to you today is a new emergency response vehicle for our emergency medical services. And it's something where we've patchworked that. The county was patchworking it using a sheriff's office vehicle to serve a similar purpose. We patchwork it using an old, outdated administrative fire vehicle to serve the service. This gets us a vehicle that's specifically built, designed, has all the special features, the lights and noisemakers that are needed in order to serve the purpose of providing advanced life support capabilities. And the request includes fully equipping the vehicle, so all of the advanced life support capabilities that are required for a paramedic to be able to respond as a single resource. And the important thing with this is obviously we're a small county, very, very small population, but we have a big tourism industry, especially in the summer months, and our population can increase by tens of thousands in the course of one weekend over the summer. And so the occasion that we may have multiple ambulance requests at the same time, or the occasion that we have an ambulance on standby for a tourism-focused event and then needing response to another incident, is something that this will help us to address. Again, this is an immediate need. It's why we had it on our one-year list, and something that we're coming to you now with a request to fund fully. The estimate, you may have noticed if you look closely at it, is for a little over $200,000, and we're expecting to cover and have the ability to cover any overages out of our own funds. But this addresses an immediate need and allows us to continue establishing capital and building funds for bigger needs that we know we're going to have in the near future. And we have on our five-year list already looking forward to needing to expand and cover especially the east side of our district more effectively than what we currently are able to do. And that includes something to the effect of perhaps a satellite station that we may be coming back to you in future years. You know, when we are more down that road of being able to pursue something along those lines. And so that's hopefully gives you an introduction of us and our situation and our requests. So any questions, be happy to answer.
Thank you. So for the board, for a motion, we're going to need an exemption, likely financial hardship, emergency response, you know, that requires like an immediate like declaration of emergency. I don't know how we feel about that. Probably financial hardship. Anyways, yes, sir.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Casey, this is for you. Why this particular vehicle you need at this time? What is the specification for that?
So this vehicle will allow me to go out and respond by myself, which a lot of times I end up having to do because we're very short-handed on medical staff. Right now it's just me and another EMT. Okay. And there's places in the county, like up in the mountains and stuff, that it's extremely hard on the ambulance to take into these places. And so this vehicle would let me equip it to where I'd have everything I needed, just like an ambulance, and to respond to these areas and do so in a quicker manner.
Okay. Have you looked for something in the used category?
Yeah, I have looked in the used category, and to find something that's not old and already ran down, it's just not feasible to the amount of money that they want for it. It's, to me, is worth the extra money to get a new one rather than spending a lot of money on something that's already ran down.
Last question. By the time you get this vehicle and you get your ski resorts, are you going to be able to use it on your ski resort?
That comes around.
A lot of projection. I will point out a couple things on the vehicle. So there are, I mean, it's way more than what you'd pay for a standard F-250 that you bought off the lot. There are some special features to it that are significant in terms of the capabilities. It's got a few compartments in it that are temperature controlled, or you're able to temperature control them. So being able to store medications and things, that actually extends the life of those medications and things of that nature are unique to the vehicle that you just don't find coming off the lot. And then it is a heavier duty vehicle, though, a four-wheel drive F-250, so that, as Casey was pointing out, we go to some areas in our county that are hard to get to, and this will ensure that we can get there without as many challenges as we run into with the ambulance.
Oh, just the one follow-up question. Yes. You have all the add-ons included in this particular vehicle?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. This includes equipment as well.
Okay.
So, and you'll note there's another estimate for all of the equipment. And it is, so LifePak equipment, Striker brand equipment, I mean, that is top end of EMS equipment. And we realize that there's opportunity where maybe you could go with other vendors and find different pricing on that. But this equipment is consistent with the equipment that we have in our ambulances, and that's an important thing for clinical care, ensuring that we're not having different types of equipment and you're having to familiarize yourself with the different vendors. And the last point that I'd like to make is this really is something that we view as a one-time request. Something that we've done already with our 2025 budget is we're earmarking money every year now for vehicle replacement, both on our fire service side as well as on the EMS side. So this is not something – our goal is to plan budgetarily so that it's not something we're ever having to come back and say, we need to replace the vehicle that we got 10 years ago or something to that effect.
Okay, I've got comments from Commissioner Adams and Commissioner Lytle and then Ms. Hansen and Mayor Baker.
My first comment is – Nagi, I don't want a used ambulance picking me up.
I know.
I was thinking about that.
This young man in the middle here, he's wearing a silk scarf around his neck. Do you guys know why he does that? That really
Absolutely.
Keeps you warm in cold, cold weather and living in Daggett County. He wears a silk scarf.
My
wife gets after me when I wear my silk scarf a little bit down in Monticello. But
I left my wife to milk the cow by herself this morning. So,
yeah, so I knew he was a cowboy, because that's what we do when it gets cold. Sometimes we even ride into the storm, turned around backwards on your horse, because your horse can pretty much take you back where you need to be. Kurt's getting a kick out of this. It's true, isn't it?
Bruce, you're always welcome to come visit wonderful Daggett County.
When it's snowing?
Yeah, when it's snowing or when it's warm.
That's for sure.
Commissioner Adams, you should include that ride in the backward in the storm in your poem next time.
Anyway, this looks to me like a good project. Are you a paramedic?
Yes.
So they're lucky to have
a paramedic. Just in the last, 3 months or so.
They're lucky to have a paramedic up there, but I'm sure they need it. Anyway, it looks like a good project to me.
Commissioner Lytle.
Oh, I was very grateful for the work that the district has done and the diligence that they've applied to how they have prepared their application. And when you've got, I don't know, maybe somebody can tell me, but when you've got at least 80% of your roads are not maintained roads, and you've got two main highways going through town or through the county, having this vehicle is critical in terms of the areas that they get called to and being able to respond, even if it's a place that we end up bringing a helicopter to get a patient out, having that vehicle with that equipment there to stabilize, if they can, the patients, to shorten the time and save lives. I mean, that's what they do, and I'm very supportive of what they've done. Where I live in the district, I don't know that I necessarily have to recuse myself, and I'm guessing I don't. I'm not on the board, but I want to say thank you for the application that they've put in and the work that they're putting in, both the board as well as the staff. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner. Ms. Hansen.
Yes, my question may actually be more for Jack, actually, but I remembered a piece of legislation that was passed last year, HB 236, and it authorizes a rural county to use revenue generated from the imposition of a rural county health care tax to mitigate the impacts of visitors within the county. And I wondered if that might be a possible funding source. I don't know if the county has the rural county health care tax.
Is it the rural hospital tax?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because I think, especially with, you know, the amount of tourism that this area has, I wondered if that could be a possible way to fund a project like this.
That means get a bigger one, better one.
Yeah, well, so we do have the rural hospital tax. We do have TRT. And was it using TRT funds or was it another tax?
No, it's using the hospital tax to fund the impacts of visitors in the county.
Right.
And so it's kind of a combination of the two. So it's allowing you to use that hospital tax for tourism impacts. I know this is more of a medical need than a tourism need, but they're kind of intertwined in this case.
There are other projects, well, with the clinic that is using, that the hospital tax is very tied to right now in providing for current clinic services as well as the other CIB project.
Yeah.
We certainly could look at other.
Maybe it's just something to keep in
just
mind.
Not a,
for
in
the
terms
future,
of,
like, this is a great project, and obviously, you know, you need to be able to help people, right, when they need help. But just maybe something for you guys to keep in mind in the future if needs come up.
Yeah, thank
that
you.
Could be an
Jack, just to be, just for clarification, you do not have to recuse yourself from this discussion or vote. And we need a motion.
I was assuming so.
I have one more question.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I missed it, but you're talking about an F-250 truck. Have you gone to state purchasing to see if you can purchase a brand new one from them? I know you added that there's some specialized equipment, but then you may be able to get that a lot cheaper than going to an outside source. State purchasing, pretty good on vehicles.
Yep.
So, no, this the outfit that we got the quote from that does, that's what they do, is they go and get these vehicles, and then they put the box on, and they get everything to where it needs to be to go out the door and go to work. And so I'm not sure. I'd assume where they do this for agencies all over the country, that they get their vehicles for us. I don't know if it's a state bid or what they get, but it's, I'd assume.
I'd check into it just to make sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Is it a cabin chassis? The vehicle start out? Does it start out as a cabin chassis?
No, it's got a regular box on it, and they implement kind of like a drop-in box into it. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand.
Did you look at other bids, or I guess what competitive bids did you look at when you chose to get it from Cheek Tawaka? New York.
So I did look at other used sites, and then I did contact some other places that do different bids, and I couldn't get other new ones to respond or to give me a current bid on that.
Thank you.
Just to address that a little bit more, we use this bid for the funding source through our purchasing requirements, and that we will still go through the bidding process.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Commissioner Adams, and then I'm going to make a motion.
Oh, no, this is a cowboy motion.
Okay.
From one cowboy to another one.
Yeah, it has to be in song.
I want to make a motion to give them what they've requested. And I know if it's outside the thing, it's because the state treasurer is so hard on that county.
That's not an exemption.
I will second the motion, emphasizing the latter part of that.
With a strong emphasis. Okay. Motion made to place the project on the priority list with a financial hardship exemption.
Mr. Chairman, and I think this is in line for financial hardship where they've taken over the finances from those other entities,
yeah,
and they're trying to get something built. I think this is
good point.
Yeah. Appropriate.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
This is to fund the paramedic emergency response vehicle as requested, which is a $200,000 grant. Mr. Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. It's placed on the priority list.
Gentlemen, thank you for bootstrapping to help your community out. Casey, thank you for gearing up to help your community out. It says a lot about you guys. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, and Bruce, you are welcome. Anytime.
Thank you.
Regardless of what Jack might say.
That's right. Don't listen to Jack when it's about me.
Okay, up next is item 4.9, the Washington County Special Service District number 1. The project is for 2024 landfill safety infrastructure improvement phase 3. The request is for $5 million in loan, 20 years at 2%. Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thank you. I'm Craig Coates, the chairman of the Washington County Board. I'm the city councilman for Washington City. I have Kevin Coons with me here. That's the district manager. He has probably the fine details. So, but we're back here again. You guys granted us a loan a couple years ago for the first two phases of this project, and this is phase 3. So this phase is important to finish off this project. It has to do with there's a couple items we can show the exhibit. There's a phase 3 west and phase 3 east, and the phase 3 west is where the phase 3 east is where currently our public dumps off their trash, and then sometimes if they're big loads they have to go up on the working face. So our goal is to have to redo the phase 3 east and not have it there and move it up to the west side so it's safer for our residents when they drop off the trash and keep them off the working face. And a little bit of a part of the phase 3 east, a little bit of it is to demo the existing scale house that we have there currently. Also, one part is the project is $6.5 million. We are putting in $1.5 million. And so that's why we were asking for the additional $5 million. Our original request a couple years ago was $15 million, and you granted us $9 million for the first two phases.
And your initial request was for all three phases?
Was for all three phases, and we scaled it back. The current project for phase 1 and 2, it's, I would say we're 80% done with construction. We're getting about close to getting those open. So.
Excellent. Thank you. Questions, comments, motion? Chairman,
thank you. So, Kevin, you consider this as a health and, safety project?
Yes, sir. So we started off this project with an arm-length list of risks of imminent harm to both the public and our employees. And so each of these phases has been broken out under the direction of the CIB to be able to accommodate the amount of money at the time, has been targeted to address each of these one by one. So these aren't just infrastructure improvements. This is exacting safety issues directly. For example, on the one slide that you have that kind of gives the highlights of the different areas, we have residents that are currently being exposed to 125,000-pound compactors, garbage trucks, bulldozers. So there's huge imminent risk for life and limb for the public on the working face. We want to get them out of that completely and just preserve that for commercial. We also have work environment for employees that would cover the east side that they are currently working under conditions that can go north of 115 degrees in the summertime. We've had an employee go to the hospital for heat exhaustion, heat stroke before, and so we're trying to address both the needs of the public and our employees in terms of trying to make this a safer working environment. So, okay. Thank you.
So you're telling me that the Kane County is the one they treat the cancer, you produce the cancer. Is that what you're saying?
No. We treat them, too, in St. George.
You actually bring up a good point, though. I think we look at this as we are just servicing the needs of Washington County residents, when in fact it's much larger than that. We have people that live there, obviously, full-time. We have people that have second homes there that come down there part-time. We have people that are just traveling through from Kane County to get medical or on their way to Vegas to go gamble. Every person that comes into contact with Washington County produces some kind of waste. And so we are essentially serving residents from all over the state, including mineral-bearing, mineral-producing counties. So we pride ourselves in offering a safe environment, and we want to make sure that we're focusing on continuing that.
Thank you.
My last question.
Yes.
One, please. You noticed that previous applicants, they had also asked for the lower interest rate. One of my colleagues is going to ask you the same. Can you afford to have a higher interest in your project, even though this is the final phase of your project to finish, and you've done a good job just getting that back and change the scope to make it, you know, usable for us?
I appreciate that question, and I expected that. The reason why we wanted to ask for 2% is the first few phases, the $9 million that were already granted, was at the 2% also. So this continues on the interest rate to make that even across that. We also are asking for a shorter term, however, though, because we do want to pay this off earlier. And when we first went to the board, to our public hearing, to request funding to be able to do this, we approached it as a $15 million project at 2%. And so we have already increased the fees to residents by 50 cents a household across the board in order to fund this. Okay. So if that interest rate were to increase further, then we would have to go back and look at other means of increasing rates, which is not a very popular ask at the present environment with inflation, things like that. So because we want to continue on a single source of addressing safety issues, we would like to keep this all in alignment in that area. So,
thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Yeah, thank you. So can you tell me where you're at on the first two phases, like how close to completion are the first two phases?
Yeah, we're about 80% done. We expect to be done in the next couple of months. We do have some pictures. We kept them in reserve.
Okay.
Just to kind of keep things brief, but we do have some pictures that we can pass around and show the completion of that. So we're very pleased with that. And our intention is to, we want to keep some continuity. We don't want to lose momentum in these projects, right? We want to start with phase three as we're finishing phases one and two. And we are participating by $1.5 million to perhaps maybe buffer that time frame of when we can receive funding.
Cool. All right, so I guess my follow-up to that would be, so if we were to award you the $5 million at the February funding meeting, how soon would you be using those funds to start phase three?
Immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately. We have the designs. We have the contractors in place. This is really just a continuation of what was broken up. So.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to make a motion then. I'd like to make a motion to approve the $5 million loan for 20 years at 3% to be consistent with the terms that we provided King County in a similar situation.
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you for the motion. Discussion on motion?
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Okay.
We authorize a $5 million loan at 4%.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Substitute motion is to place the project on the priority list, $5 million, 20 years at 4%. Seconded by Mayor Baker. Discussion on the substitute motion. Hold on, we got it. I can't have applicants jumping in and debating. It's okay.
I think, you know, my reasoning is, I think, and please don't take offense to what I'm going to say, but it's much like your older, wealthier brother coming and saying he needs better terms. And I think if we grant you a sweetheart deal, which I think it would be, and I think the difference between this applicant and Kane County actually produces minerals. And looking at the rainbow sheet, Washington County's, they've gotten fourfold, what, or more, way more than fourfold. $30 million is what they've gotten from CIB, and they've paid in $170,000.
Okay. And Washington County is definitely has a lot more revenues, I think, than King County. So.
Much more influential.
Yeah. Okay. If there's no further discussion on the motion, I'll call for a roll call vote, please. So the motion is to place the project on the priority list as requested, but with an increased interest rate to 4%.
I'd like to make a substitute motion to the substitute.
Okay.
That we reduce it by $4 million, bring up our space, and still keeping it at 4%.
I don't understand.
So you're just giving them $1 million?
You just want to give them $1 million, Jack?
No, no, reduce by $1 million.
Oh,
so $4 million.
Give them $4 million.
Oh,
reduced by $1 million.
Yeah, reduced by $1 million.
$4 million. So the substitute that Jack, the second substitute that he's proposing is a $4 million loan, 20 years at 4%. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do we have a second to that second substitute motion?
Doesn't make sense.
So due to the lack of a second, that motion will fail, and we'll go back to the original substitute motion, which is $5 million, 20 years at 4%.
Could I ask one question of the applicant before we call for a vote on that? If it were 4%, what would your response be? How would you, you know?
Well, we haven't planned for 4%. Yeah. We planned for 2%. It was a continuation. We understand where the market is today versus not. I think one of the things we'd have to look at the numbers moving forward. One of the things I would request maybe is be open on the time frame, because currently we did 30 years on the first set, and it's been about a year and a half or something that we just make them line up together so they get paid off together, and might help with that fee a little bit longer. I mean, it might be more money overall, but it might come in line with our budgets a little better.
So that would be at 20, how many years?
Up to 30, and then we can, when we close the loan, we'll make it fair.
You good with that?
Yes.
You good with that, Mayor Bacon?
So it would be 30 years rather than 20 years.
Up to 30 years?
Up to 30
years.
Okay. Yeah.
30 years at 3%.
No, 4%.
Okay.
All right. Well, the motion on the floor right now is $5 million, 20 years, up to 30 years at 4%. I'll call for a roll call vote on that, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. It's based on the priority list.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate you being flexible. You know, obviously the CIB is committed to the project. Like you mentioned, due to market circumstances, we got to be a little bit more thoughtful with interest rates, but congratulations, and it's a great project.
Thank you.
You bet. How's everybody doing? Good? Up next is item 410, Mona City Water System Improvements. The request is for improvements to the 200 North Water Line Replacement in Juab County, and the request is for $261,410 in grant. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Our mayor apologizes for not being here. I'm Jay Christensen. I'm a council member. And he appreciates the opportunity we have. Our project is 200 North. It's a water project, and the reason for the water project is deterioration of the lines. It used to be a county road a year ago, and the county gave it back to us. There's 10 services on that line, but the 200 North comes off of our only exit in Mona and goes to the power plant and also the new solar plant out there, and also the Sunset tomato plant. So there's a lot of big trucks on that road. And right now, population of Mona is 1,800. And we don't have much revenue other than our billing. And this particular road was going to be resurfaced by the county before Jones and DeMille has done the work on the project, but the engineering. But we were going to, or the county was going to resurface this road, but it needed replacement of, there's three different sizes of pipe, water pipe, and there's a 6-inch, a 4-inch, and an 8-inch, and a 4, so there's a lot of different, you know, in order to make the loop and get more pressure up north, this would need to be done. And it needs to be done before surfacing. We have another grant that we've obtained to surface the road and do that part. And so that's why we're here, trying to obtain funds for the water line.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Just a reminder, the motion to approve will require likely a financial hardship exemption. Questions for the applicant? Motion? Yes, sir.
Where does the, it shows you're bringing $100,000. Where's the $100,000 coming from?
Our general fund. General,
you're putting it in yourself.
Yes.
Have you done your drinking water requirements?
Yes.
I see 500 foot of 1-inch line. Is that service line to homes?
Where are you seeing that?
Sorry. Down in the description, talks about 500 foot, 1-inch poly service line.
It'll be, let's see. Oh, there's going to be 8 meters changed out too, and that's probably the line for that.
Taking up to the meters.
A new meters, a new service to homes. Is that what you're trying to do along that street?
Yes. Yes. And two, that's the only street in Mona which has sidewalk and curb and gutter. And a lot of the surfaces will be underneath the sidewalk and curb. So we'll have to, you know, replace a lot of that too in the other grant. But yeah.
Commissioner Brown?
I'm wondering if that 1-inch line is a 1-foot line. 1-inch would not be capable of carrying 8 homes.
Spelled out.
I don't think so.
Spelled out is? Yeah. Yeah, I don't think 1-inch will carry it out.
But the plans and the specs, they're going to have to be reviewed by the Division of Drinking Water, right?
Yep.
So, Commissioner Miles?
What is your water rate, and when's the last time you looked at an increase?
$43 a month, and we're looking at tiered system. It's almost where we can suggest it to the citizens. We just raised our sewer rates because of the, we have a sewer plant that we shouldn't have yet, and that's taken all of our funds too. It's 12 years old now, and things are starting to go
So.
Yeah, packing a lot of debt too.
Commissioner Zanotti.
Thank you.
Chairman's
an honor. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. So, Jay, are you brother to Randy?
No.
No? Not
we're
relation?
Not related.
Darn it.
No. What does that mean?
Do you know by chance he got his beer?
He got one, yes.
5 points? 6 points?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
I need to get it.
It's an 11.
Eastern County.
Do you apply for other sources before coming to CIB? Like drinking water, any other ones?
No.
No.
We've applied to JHC for a joint commission for the resurfacing of the road. But no, not for this.
And you think that you're going to be able to do all the stuff that you're asking to do for $261,000?
I think so. I think if we have any overruns, we'll probably adjust that.
You have the money to covered overruns, overestimates?
Yeah, it's possible.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to accept as is, as requested, with the financial hardship attached.
I'd like to second that. I'm in favor of watering tomatoes.
Thank you.
That covers that.
Motion made to place the project on the priority list as requested with a financial hardship exemption, seconded by Commissioner Adams. Discussion seeing none, I will call for a roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay, up next we have item 411, the Town of Kingston. Requesting $467,000 in grant for the Kingston Spring Redevelopment Project in Paiute County. Welcome, gentlemen.
I'm Bill Sudwich, the mayor of Kingston, and we have one spring, and the water is collected underground. And I don't think it's been redeveloped in the last 50 years. What we've observed is the water keeps reducing the flow of the spring. And lately, the water is surfacing above ground and even to the point where it's running down the hill. So we feel like that we need to go in and redevelop the spring. And also, we wanted to do automatic meter reads because that seems to be the way that everybody's going. And we thought that would be appropriate to do it at this time and include that in this project.
Thank you. Questions for the applicant? Discussion?
Just one small one.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Mayor Sudwick, did you ever question anybody from before you, the mayor before you, or the public work directors, anyone, why in the heck nobody has inspected that place for 50 years? Where was the water was gone for 50 years?
Well, there's been other projects that have been done. The town has put in a new distribution system in that time. There have been other development projects at the spring, but not the pipe that goes up and collects the water wasn't part of that project. And so then we've done road projects and other things. I guess what we do is a few projects every once in a while. This one came along.
So how did you notice this one is lacking or failing you?
I Couldn't quite hear.
Who inspected the pipe to find out it's failing you? It's been failing you for how many years?
How do you know it's been failing?
Well, how do we know it's failed? We take meter reads on it regularly.
Okay.
I've been the mayor for 16 years, and I've been dealing with the Division of Drinking Water, and so I have to take meter reads. I've got them going back for years, and I can show exactly what the output of that spring was and the decrease that it's taken over the years.
And have they offered to help you?
What's that?
Have they offered to help you from the Department of Water Drinking Water?
They have provided some help, yes. They have provided the engineering for doing this project. And so they've helped us out that way, and then we wanted to finish the project with the CIB.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Just if I could also answer Mr. Zanotti, the water recently has surfaced up above the springs.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the other indicator that something is plucked off below, is because the water, which used to all go into the pipe, has now found a way to the surface and is coming down the surface of the hillside.
Thank you.
Yes. So how many residents does this spring service?
We have about 180 residents. And we growing. We have two new houses being built, so we feel that's pretty good. And not only being built, but being built by young families, because mostly we're old people that live in town.
Okay. Oh,
we're pretty excited about that.
And what's your water bill per month?
$30.50 plus overage.
Okay. So I think that's
pretty lean.
Below, quite a bit below the average, the state average. Does anybody know what the state average is for water?
I don't remember, but it's lean. $30 is cheap.
$30 is pretty cheap, so I don't know what that number of residents that we're gonna get there, but you know, this is, again, outside the tool, and I know we've given a number of loans outside the tool, but, I want to reemphasize why we create the tool, right? It's because everybody's got a great case, and we need to draw some lines to protect the CIB and make sure that it's administered fairly. So if we were to give you the minimum up there, that requires that you take some in loan. It would be a very favorable interest rate at 1%, but tell me if we were to extend that to you, if that would be possible for you to repay.
Left my hearing aid home.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. if we were to give you part of this in loan of $186,000, and that would be over a term of 30 years, so the payment on that would be $7,000, $7,200. Do you guys feel like if you increased your water rates a little bit that you could repay that?
You want to get me kicked out of the office.
Timing package.
The problem we get into with going with a 30-year loan is before the 30 years is up, the next project rolls around. And so pretty soon we're stacking loan on top of loan.
Yeah,
and
get that.
That's what I've been dealing with as mayor, is getting rid of those loans that got stacked on top of each other over a period of time. And within 30 years, you just can't sit and do nothing for 30 while we pay off a loan. And we don't have significant revenue when you look at what's coming in every month, plus the maintenance that goes on the system. We have to take care of that problem. Right now, we're what I call a volunteer community. When a water line breaks, we go get a backhoe, we get some volunteer, and we dig it up and we fix it. Because if I had to hire a company to come in and do it, we'd be out of money very quickly. And so we rely on significant amount of volunteer help to keep things running. But that's kind of where we're at. And that's what concerns me about his loan over a 30-year period.
Yeah, no, I get that. What, have you looked at increasing your water rate, though, to something that's more around the state average so that you can increase your revenues?
The water rates were increased a while back to the 30-50, and so we haven't increased them since then, but it's been, 15 years or so, 20 maybe, when water rates were increased. It was one of the big water projects caused the rates to go up.
Yeah.
So if you ask the people in town, they think they're paying a high water rate. We just have to get them to move in from somewhere else, and then they think it's cheaper. But
if they move from Duchesne County, they'll move from an $80 water rate in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So 30's pretty cheap.
Yeah, well, really cheap.
I used to live in South Jordan, so I know what the water rates are up here. And when I moved south, I said, this is not bad. But that's kind of where we're at with it. We have a significant senior citizen population in town. As a matter of fact, I went to a six-county meeting, and a lady from the state talked about senior citizens. She said Paiute County has the highest percent of senior citizens any county in the state of Utah by far. So I got out my fingers. I said, she's right. We have a significant senior citizen population. So that's where we're at. And
so if we were to fund you something less than what you're asking for here, you mentioned that the town's good about volunteering some work, getting some people in there to help. Is there a way that we could reduce the cost on this so that you could take less and still get the project done?
I'll leave that to my
resident engineer.
Yeah, that's always a possibility to have some of the citizens or the town maintenance crew, for lack of a better word, because there isn't a maintenance crew to do on some of the, probably some of the meter installs or something like that could reduce the cost of the project, possibly.
Her maintenance man's 80 years old.
I was just going to say, age may limit the ability of folks to volunteer.
Points people do stuff. Okay. Well,
Kurt, how about having a minimum with a 0% rate?
I would support that. Yeah, I would support that. I just feel like, this is big enough that they should have some skin in the game on a sizable project like this. So
if you want to do that.
Okay, I'll make the motion then. I would fund it with a $280,200 grant and $186,800 loan at 0%, which would put it outside the tool range. So I also need to provide financial hardship as the reason for coming outside the tool range.
Yeah, we should mention that the plans and specs must be reviewed and approved by the Division of Drinking Water as well.
Okay.
And I'll second that if that covers it.
Yeah. Great. Okay. Commissioner Adams.
I'm going to be obnoxious. I'm going to make a substitute motion.
I'll second it.
If we're going to force them to take a loan, I would say give them a $100,000 loan because that's about as low as we can go with it, and give them the rest of it in a grant at 0%. And that's I'm sure it's outside the range, so do that. Financial hardship again.
So that's
I'll second the motion.
So we want to shift. You want to? The motion is to shift $100,000 from the loan side over the grant side.
No, 87,000
more in grant than
to grant and
got it.
Do $100,000
okay
at zero.
Okay.
So 367 grant, $100,000
should be 467 grant.
That'd be total. 367 grant with a loan of $100,000.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw.
Yes.
Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you for your assistance.
I got to tell you, I appreciate all the things that CIB has done for our town, because without you, we'd have a lot more problems than we do. So thank you very much.
Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a brief
break.
As you're taking the break, I need to ask to be excused from the rest of the meeting, just with everything that's happening right now for me.
You bet.
But thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for being here with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Somebody give Bruce a big hug for me.
Very well.
No apologies.
Jack, there is no excuse for you, but I love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, see ya. Well, let's take a brief break. Everyone use the restroom, get a sandwich. We'll come back with our sandwiches and finish the rest of the meeting. Sound good?
Hey.
Bruce, I'm
giving
that kiss that he did.
They're ready.
Oh,
Lunstead. Lunstead. We're dealing with the county out there building. Oh, it's fun.
But
you're going to walk with it 150 foot. So we're kind of fighting things. We have a lot of people built somewhere beside it. The county got the property from here.
Okay, well, welcome everyone back to the table. Looking to reopen the meeting. Starting at item 7, supplemental request and change of scope. Are we live, DJ Paul? Okay. This is not the remix. This is the studio version. Let's wait for the bass. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Miles, with the bass. Item 7.1, the town of Marysville, for a new fire station. The request is for $295,000 in grant. And again, this is a supplemental request. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, all of the folks on the board. I'm Bill Davis, Marysville Mayor. I very much appreciate your considering our supplemental request. We ran into some problem with expansive soil. We had to over-excavate the building foundation by 8 feet, and we had to over-excavate all of the areas that we would have parking on by 4 feet. We ended up putting in an additional 6,000 yards of material. Paiute County and myself worked to generate that material out of the pit in Marysville, so we covered the cost on that. In order to get the project to the point that it is now, and we're very nearly complete with the building part of it, we redlined a bunch of stuff so that we could, we tried really hard to make the numbers on this. We just didn't get the job done, which is why I'm back asking for an additional $295,000. So we would, and I would entertain questions as you see fit.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question, too.
I'm a little familiar with Marysville. You didn't disturb the Big Rock Candy Mountain when you were excavating, did you?
Fortunately, we didn't, and it did not burn.
Okay. All right. Well, I know that Marysville, do you have a gas station?
We have a gas station, yes, sir.
A gas station?
Just one.
And you have a few bed and breakfasts?
We have, I think at this point, we have 3 bed and breakfasts and 1 restaurant.
Marysville is a hidden gem for the state of Utah. I don't know how many of you have been down through Marysville. I drive through it as often as I can.
Yeah, I have to.
Going to Bryce and to other places, but got a soft spot for this one, folks. I'll make a motion when somebody gets ready.
Second that motion when you're ready.
Third it.
I'll make a motion. That we give them the supplemental grant. I know it's outside the range, but I just feel like they just don't have the means to take on a loan. But go ahead, Laura.
Well, I was just wanted to, my Granicus isn't working today, but what did we do last time? Was it all grants last
time?
Yes.
It's up there on the board.
Oh, thank you. And also my eyes are bad. so I'm like a double trouble.
Can I ask one clarifying question? So are these supplementals, were they included in the financial forecast that we looked at this morning?
Yes, they are.
As requested? They're all put on as requested. Okay.
Questions, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
So, Mayor, the Canyon fires did not destroy anything that was not supposed to, or what kind of damage do you have that from that fire?
So the fire itself, I personally was involved in cutting that dozer line. We were able to keep it just to the edge of town. The problem is that we have the flood after fire.
I know.
We've got close to 20,000 acres worth of burn scar immediately in our watershed. We're worried about the town watershed, but we are really concerned with the possibility of up to 7 times the normal amount of water. The water itself is not the problem. It's the debris that it's going to carry. So we're working with Ensign Engineering and the NRCS to try and mitigate that. But yes, we are really concerned about that.
And this $295,000 will cover all the things you need to do.
Yes, sir. We sharpened our pencil on this, and we're confident that we can get the project done for this amount. And to your question about the effects of the fire, it pretty much wiped us out financially for the summer tourist season. But the biggest thing that it did is it illustrated to us just how important an emergency services building is. We set up incident command in the town building, and we were in there for almost 2.5 months at max capacity. We had the sheriff's office. We ran incident command for the fire. We had all the fire agencies in there. It pretty much maxed town out. We had, and thank goodness for the Wildland fire crews and the Type 3 incident teams that we had. If it weren't for those people, we'd have been toast. It was an amazing show of effort. I believe that our suppression costs alone on the fire were very nearly $26 million. We were looking down both barrels of a loaded gun.
We are grateful that everybody was safe. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, thank you.
Was that motion, Commissioner Adams?
Second.
I did.
Did you second? Okay, go ahead.
One question. I just noticed on your supplemental sheet breakdown, it's got install a power connect for Rocky Mountain Power. Is that changes because of your the over X that you've got to do, or was that something that got missed?
It was. We did not negotiate that with Rocky Mountain Power. We assumed it would have been a reasonable amount. Rocky Mountain Power is short on high voltage for our area. And when they came to us with the request, or when they came to us with the bill, it was a jaw dropper.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We've got a motion on the floor to approve the request for the additional funding as requested. Call for a roll call vote, please.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle? Oh, he's gone.
Yep.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. One and all, we very much appreciate your consideration and help with this. It has made an enormous difference. When we actually had to use the emergency services buildings and host all of those people, it was a real eye-opener. Couldn't have done it without you folks. And we very much appreciate the CID board and all of your efforts. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Good luck and Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, up next on the agenda, item 8-1 is the Upper Community Rec District for special consideration. This is for the Altamont Rodeo Grounds Improvement Project, modifying the scope to incorporate items that were in future phases into the current phase.
Mr. Chairman, this is just a scope change, so I make a motion. Oh, sorry.
We make a motion to consider both special.
No, not there. We're not there yet.
Well, this don't is we for the need a motion just to consider?
This is for the 7.2.
This was moved up to scope change.
Yes, 7.2.
It doesn't require
a.
Okay.
A
motion
that might need
us. That's what I mean. A motion. Make a motion to accept it. This is scope change. That's all. Nothing is changing. So, make a motion.
Okay. So, motion. Okay. So, the motion is for a scope change to approve the change of scope.
Right.
Chairman Zanotti.
That's just it.
Second.
I'll second that.
Second is Commissioner Bartholomew. Comments, questions for the applicant. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Powers. Thank you for being here, by the way.
I would like to thank Upper Country for working with me very, very diligently and for their patience as I...
I would still like to just hear a little bit about what you guys are doing.
I got a whole bunch of stuff.
I'm just curious. With, like,
2 hours worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can keep it short, but...
You know, our community has very patriotic people and pioneers. They homesteaded that in 1905, and my dad was 10 years old at that time when he came in. And they've just been community-minded, helping each other. And because of this scope change and the ethics that this community brings, we're able to get this, what are we going to call it now? No. We're not going to call it rodeo grounds anymore.
Cowboy.
Because it's going to be, yeah, whatever. But it's going to be a great thing for our whole community, the other communities around us, Duchesne, Roosevelt. They all come in. When we have our big 24th of July celebration, we get people from all over the state of Utah that comes in there. I don't want to take up too much time, Bruce, so you can go to your rodeo. But speaking of rodeo, we got three in our area that will be at the national finals. One from Uinta County and two about 2 miles from where I live. There'll be bulldogging and bareback riding and bulls.
So one question, if you're moving things that were in a future phase into phase one, does that mean that you had to cut something else out of your phase one, or you were just able to do more than you thought you
could? No, we had donations.
Okay.
We had considerable amount of donations from the community. And that's just because they want to support each other. You know, we believe in families and a center where we can do good things for the family.
That's great.
And so that's what we're doing.
Bottom line is we listen to CIB. You guys asked us to go back, do what we could do to figure out what we really wanted, how we could do it better. We did that. And because of that, we can do additional stuff that was in future phases. So awesome. So thank you for your efforts in that. And also thank you for lunch.
Yeah. We've got a comment or question from Commissioner Lytle.
Mostly I just wanted to say I was back. of course, I support this community and may have coined that cowboy mental health phrase. I just want to let you know I was back in.
Thank you. Welcome back, Commissioner. Chairman Zanotti.
I just want to make a confession. While I was there in your community the other day, I saw the renovation. I was just so impressed. I carved my name on one of the bleachers on the northeast. Except it says Senator Whittington was here. So if you see that, he did it, not me.
missed the joke.
That's okay. I put Ray Jones.
It's okay. We definitely got a lot.
Awesome. If you could carve it in there, we demoed it.
Okay. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Bowers.
Treasurer Slaw.
Could you restate the motion? I'm sorry.
To approve the expanded scope for Upper Community Recreation District.
Thank you.
No new funds. Ms. Hansen.
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Wholeheartedly, yes.
Commissioner Miles.
Aye.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Brown.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes. I told Greg that Monticello will try and go easy on him in basketball.
We're going to hold you to it.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you for your time. Up next is item 8-2, Mike City, requesting $1.6 million in
grant. This is the one need a motion to consider.
This needs a motion to consider.
I make that brought. Bruce made that motion.
Okay. Motion to consider by Commissioner Adams, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Was that opposed, Jerry?
No,
that came in a little
aye.
Late.
It was an aye.
So no, it's an eye.
Is there a reason for special consideration? Like, what is the rationale for special consideration?
Is that Robert Rules of Order is just in order to do that.
Because it didn't make the
agenda. It didn't
time,
make the agenda.
Time frame.
Okay, why are we considering it now instead of waiting, making them wait till the next funding cycle?
Two reasons. This project was not on the CIB application list. They have had STIP funds for some time, and they recently got approval, because in Mighton the streets are owned by the tribe, approval from the tribe to get it done. So if we wait until July, that might go away, that approval to get these roads done, because the tribe owns the roads. So they're coming with this special consideration because it's ready now.
Because the timeliness of when we approve it matters to the project. Okay.
Exactly.
That's all.
There, little clarification. That there's still a dispute about who owns the roads.
I know.
Kurt, do you speak Ute?
Your help.
Well, you came from.
For clarification's sake, it may be disputed, but right now they're on the same page. Is that?
Get her done.
What?
Yeah.
The tribe and the city have mutually agreed that this project can move forward, but within a limited time amount, within a limited time frame.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've given us a very limited scope.
Yeah. Yep. I understand. Okay. Questions for the applicant? Motion.
Motion to approve.
Well, hold on.
Second. Have to explain.
No, let's just have them approve it.
Oh, we want
you
to explain
what I said,
one.
Didn't you?
Okay. Why don't you provide a brief overview and introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Mayor Kathleen Cooper from Mighton, Utah. And a brief overview of the project is that we have a waterline project that we want to put in underneath first, so that we don't have to dig it back up again. So we're doing a waterline project with the Division of Drinking Water, and we'll get that done, and then we'll put in the street project. But right now, because it has taken us 2 years to get this two-paper document saying that we can do it, the prices have gone up considerably, so that we are in dire straits and need to have this money so that we can complete this in a timely manner. And I thank you for your consideration.
I'm Alan Allred, Public Works Director for Mighton City. In support of what Mayor Cooper just said, we didn't want to put in this road project and have to redig up all the roads. Our water lines are failing on Main Street, so it was a necessity to do this water line. And now that we've got this approval letter from the tribe, I think we need to act on it as quickly as possible.
Yeah. And also, I'd like to add that Senator Winterton figured that it was so important that he stayed through this meeting to be here to help support this project. Thank you.
Brett Reynolds with Civco Engineering, one of the other engineering firms. And just here, we applied for the Joint Highway Funds several years ago and was awarded that. As it was being developed and all that, then it came to the attention that the water line project needed to be done. And also the right-of-way issue was there, so it's been delayed because of that. And yeah, now we finally got the go-ahead, so we're three-fourths of the way through the plan set, ready to go out to bid, which we can finish up very quickly. To answer previous questions, yeah, it is fairly well ready to go. And we've updated the cost to reflect the latest cost that we could get on it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Mr. Since we have Senator Winterson here, can we ask him to come a little bit of a shed light on this project? It's kind of vague.
Sorry.
You guys know with UDOT that
right.
we've had several projects out there that basically has this cloud of our contractors have to be UTERO certified. For those that don't know, that's Utah Tribe Employment Office.
Right.
And so you basically have to employ tribal members or have somebody on your company that is, and then you pay 2% of the cost of the projects, or that's how we interpret it, but 2%. And so we're having a hard time getting contractors that want to come out there and work in the basin. It's really been a downfall for UDOT to have even contractors bid on any projects. And so having this, it's not even an MOU, but the tribe has given their blessings for this project. It's been a long time coming. And I mean, I didn't know if the mayor would last this long, but we've worked to get that. No, I'm not. It's just that the best of intentions from the tribe, but they just have a hard time following through with paperwork or that. And so our understanding is we have verbal, but she actually has that in writing this time. So for UDOT State, we're still working all the time to make sure that communications with our tribal members are up to snuff.
So it is kind of shovel ready, Mayor?
Yes, it is shovel ready.
Okay.
Ms. Hansen, Treasurer Slaw.
Thank you. And I apologize. I don't have access to all of my materials. I'm having a computer issue today. But I see that your request is 43% CIB. I know you mentioned that you had some funding for the water line piece. Do you have your own money in the game, the city's funds?
We have $145,000 that we've contributed toward the project.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That was a question I had. Yeah. Thank you.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yeah. So you're outside the tool range, right? So we understand this is Duchesne County. You get such special priority, and we've weighted that in the tool to make sure that you understand that we know that stuff that comes from UN or Duchesne County get priority and get better terms, right? But we factored that in, and even after all of those considerations, you're outside of what we're saying is it, you should get. It's saying that you should take at least some loan, right? So that the tool tells us you should have to take at least $480,000 in loan rather than all grant. This is a very large project, right? I'm sure this is going to be really helpful for the residents. What ability do you have to take on loan if we're to make part of this a loan?
It would be very difficult, sir, because we have two other major loans that we are trying to pay back at this time. But I could take it back to my council if I had to and see what we could take on. It don't think it would be much.
Okay, so the tribe owns the land that this is going on. Is that
it? This is in
they're claiming it.
Six cases. So if you follow litigation,
we don't have a say in this anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's been the problem, is that most of the time the cities own the streets and alleys.
Right.
This was a 10th Circuit Court case that said, no, they belong to the tribe. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's taken us so long to get to here. So to leverage, you're going to put money on something you don't own, creates a real problem.
I see.
Well, no.
That makes sense.
That's why I think it's really easy to use that rather than a loan, because you're going to pledge people
that's
that live within the reservation.
That's a good question.
Two other things I'd like to point out. One is the mayor said they've already got two existing loans. The waterline project, they're going to take on a third loan for the waterline project.
Okay.
And then second of all, the tool doesn't take into account that the joint highway funds and their local match. So the total project is a lot more than the 1.6. So if you actually look at the, if you actually look at it, the city, i.e. with joint highways and their funds, has a lot more in it than what we're asking for on the grant.
UDOT is helping quite a bit on this project.
They've helped every single penny that they can help.
See, we've already got $2 million going from joint highway going into the project.
Okay.
And we didn't want to go into the joint highway funds that are available right now, so we didn't want to enter into a loan grant mix where we would use the joint highway to pay back the loan, because it's already available and we don't want the extra expense of doing the loan paperwork just to pay it back with the joint highway funds that's already there.
Okay. So I'm not familiar with how it works when the tribe owns public infrastructure. How does that work in terms of tax revenues? Does the tribe collect tax revenues to help support that?
No, it's really no different than any county. And I don't think there's any county in the state that owns it 100% of every right-of-way of every county road.
Okay.
So you repair roads that you don't own right-of-way on, but you still collect B&C road funds to repair those roads. This happens to be a unique circumstance because the tribe, because they're a sovereign entity and own the right-of-way, we don't have prescriptive easement on tribal land. And so this
but you're still getting the B&C road funds to support it. So from that perspective, in terms of repayment, it would be no different than if the county or city owned it outright, right?
Yeah, but you can never.
Yeah, but you can't do it without the tribe's blessing.
Yeah. I understand that part, but in terms of repayment, we're talking about revenues to repay a loan. We're saying you can't because the tribe owns it, but we're still collecting the B&C road funds. Mm-hmm. That's typically the revenues that are pledged on road projects to repay a loan, right? And so.
Yeah.
And the current B&C road funds is just being used to maintain the roads in the county or in the city. Yeah, so they're barely able to keep up with all the other roads in the city. Yeah, so to take off any, to put any more of that money towards. And as Ron pointed out, we actually got the joint highway funds like 3 or 4 years ago, and we've been working to finalize the plans, and now we haven't gone any further on the plans because we don't know the size of the project, because that's based upon the funding.
Commissioner Adams.
Okay.
Well, it's
hard to deal with the tribes, and I know because I deal with them on a daily basis, because they change their mind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. On a moment's notice. We had issues several years ago where we had all these children on buses out on the reservation stuck in the mud because the tribe changed their mind and wouldn't let us blade the right-of-ways, the bus routes. So they called the governor, they called everybody. You got all these elementary and high school kids stuck in a mud hole out on the reservation for hours and hours and hours. Now, what they've tried to do lately on the one road that we're doing with UDOT down there, they didn't want us to touch that road until we paid them a $2 million right-of-way fee.
That's right.
And just like that, they change their mind. It happens with change in administration. Then you got the BIA you're dealing with. You got the Navajo Nation you're dealing with. You got three or four agencies. We got a letter 2 years ago that said, San Juan County, cease and desist any work on any reservation roads. Yep. Well, we have state highways that run through the reservation.
161, 163.
You've got a situation here where they've negotiated, they have a signed agreement. You want to get this done before they change their mind.
You're right.
That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
Because they could change your mind in January if you're not careful.
Yep.
Okay, I got that.
So hearing the conversation back and forth, sounds like this is really kind of an emergency situation to get this taken care of. I would make the motion to approve this with a financial hardship.
And I second that.
It could almost be a special circumstance, too. I mean, you know, with the timeliness.
Special circumstance is
it? Whatever works with it.
Special
circumstance.
Unique.
Thank you, sir. So motion made to approve under a special circumstance exemption by Commissioner Bartholomew, seconded by Chairman Zanotti. Discussion on the motion.
I just had one question, Mayor.
Yeah.
How come you didn't have any public hearing meetings or minutes of any kind?
We did. In fact, we sent those to Kansas this morning. We had it night before.
This morning, okay.
It's 3 pages long. So
well, thank you for doing that. Bless your heart. We didn't have it on our screen, so I didn't know what.
Ms. Hansen and then Commissioner Miles.
I am supportive of the motion and will vote yes. I just wanted to point out we were kind of hard on the town of Kingston, which is a smaller community with a big project. And I know I think it's good for us to keep in mind some equity when from application to application.
Well, if you have a leftover mayor, would you please give it to the town of Kingston?
I will do that.
Good. Okay. Commissioner Moss?
I'll wait till post vote, please.
Okay. I'll call for a roll call vote then, Ms. Powers.
Treasurer Slaw?
Yes.
Ms. Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Bartholomew?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
That was a yes.
Mayor Baker?
Double yes.
Commissioner Miles?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
Yeah.
I, and please don't take this like a butt chewing, but please in the future work through the AOG. I think that was a little bit unfair to them that you worked directly with CIB staff without bringing them in. So.
We would have, except that it was a special circumstance. I've always worked with them.
Yeah, on this one, I think you could have just called and said, hey, this is what we're doing. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't do that, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's on me. Thank you.
Well, Merry Christmas, Mayor.
And,
thank you.
I'd like to also personally apologize. I had a little family emergency I had to deal with, which put me totally off my game. So, but you're absolutely correct. I will take some credit for that, yes.
I would just like to acknowledge that it's suspend and fund also in this, right?
Oh, yep.
Motion people.
So
what does that mean?
That means you got the money.
Oh, good. Oh,
don't
good.
Wait.
So we can start.
Get working
okay.
on
watch
right
for,
on.
Yeah, watch for your stocking. Something will be in.
Thank you.
It's a big package.
Thank you.
All right.
Congratulations.
You guys get out of here before they change their mind.
Yeah. I have one more question relative to the question was asked if it was shovel ready. Is it? And the answer was yes, but it sounds like maybe it's more like mostly shovel ready.
We're at about a 60%, 70% ready on the plans. The environmental has been approved for the whole entire project. We were holding off finalizing the plans until we knew exactly what the funding was. But we are immediately going to get with UDOT and have the plan in hand, PS&E, and have this out for advertising probably in January.
Thank you.
Please, one more thing from a staff level. Nothing prior to this date is eligible for reimbursement from CID funds.
Okay.
That is good, and that's we're using the joint highway funds to pay for what's been done to date.
Have the down payment.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mine City.
We had three major water line breaks this summer. Our water lines underneath our main street were done in 1970.
Oh, wow.
So it's a help. I mean, although it's supposed to be a street issue, it's all combined. So thank you so very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor.
All right.
All right. Our last item on the agenda for board member discussion and or action is our next funding meeting is scheduled for February 6th. Our next review meeting date is TBD. We have options of March 6th, April 3rd, May 1st, and then we need to determine a location for our policy meeting in June. So as far as the next review, so we have a funding meeting February 6th. The review meeting date we need to determine March, April, or May for our four-hour review meeting. What do we suggest?
What do you think, Bruce?
March.
You can have the policy meeting at my house.
Again, and you're not even...
We're going to have to talk to the governor about that. That's not legal in the handbook.
Is it... What about having two review meetings and not having to have them be way long?
I thought we did okay.
I like it in one. I like the marathon meeting, personally. Mm-hmm.
Have it in April.
Yeah, we
don't have one in May. For March.
I like that.
Bruce.
Skip every other month.
Okay, so
March is legislative session.
So head nods for an April review meeting?
That's fine.
April 3rd.
Okay, policy meeting. Where do we want to... Who wants to host this for our policy meeting? We've been on a heck of a tour.
Hey.
So
we haven't done it in Hawaii.
It's tough to beat.
What about we go to
Santa? What about San Pete County? I haven't been to a meeting in San Pete.
Can I have? I mean, we have projects there. We go see what they've done, or how much money they've spent. And
I can get behind that. Knapp?
There's crickets.
Knapp?
Because he said San Pete County.
Oh.
Jack Lytle.
Oh, did he?
Crickets? Well, if there are crickets last year, there won't be any this year.
We might not have our...
I'm pretty agnostic, but...
If you can do that, go to Sevier County.
You can do what?
And we could do it at the new Far Six.
That's a nice thing.
Where's the new swimming pool? We should all go swimming.
Do we have a meeting in Travis's corner office?
We could do it at the R6 building.
Well,
pool party.
Yeah, we can continue the discussion.
Yes, you can finalize it.
Okay. We've got some good candidates, so sounds like Sevier, like Richfield, potentially Knapp, and Paiute's on board, is that right? Kusharam? Are we going to stop swinging to Kusharam? Okay, that's it. April 3rd review meeting, and we'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
I'd say enjoy the rodeo.
Yeah.
Recording stopped.
So Christina Oliver would like me to get a photo of you all together.
Oh, my.